This is PFW in Progress.
Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
PFW in Progress.
All right, quiet everybody. Our director will be here any minute and we'll start rehearsal. Here he comes. Attention everyone, here's our director.
With Fred Kirsch.
Oh no, we're doomed.
Paul Perillo.
Rats. Nobody sent me a Christmas card today. I almost wish there weren't a holiday season. I know nobody likes me. Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it?
And Andy. And Andy?
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel.
Andy Hart.
I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy.
I'm never happy.
Some guy named Tom.
Rats. You've been dumb before, but this time you really did it.
Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
That's right. What about my part? What about the Christmas Queen, hmm? Are you going to let all this beauty go to waste?
PFW in Progress.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's that time of year. The Christmas season's upon us, and actually, tonight, Charlie Brown Christmas is airing on TV.
The worst TV Christmas special there
is. I know Andy doesn't like it because there's no fart jokes and stuff.
But, there's no anything.
This is a guy who doesn't like Seinfeld, so we should preface that by saying that he's the only person I've ever met who doesn't think Seinfeld is funny.
Thank you, Tom.
And I'm sure some stupid idiot's going to write in saying they don't
think
Seinfeld
is. I don't like it either.
Right, so that kind of...
devalues his
exactly.
opinion.
But anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred, Andy, Paul, Tom.
Andy must really be hungry because usually that would be a shot where he just starts lashing back, but he's just sitting there eating his bag of chips. And
Gary's in the booth. And
that's
we're
right,
here
I'm hungry because no one sent lunch.
Are we going to start this right off the top of the bat? I mean...
Off the top of the bat?
Right off the top of the bat. Hey, first time of the year, Fred.
What?
First football game of the year at Gillette Stadium. Sunday night. First game.
What do you mean?
It was actually a football game. First time.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
What do you mean?
I thought you were referring to maybe the MIAA games coming up on Saturday.
I'm looking forward to those, maybe.
Well, by the way,
I'll find out tonight.
I'm probably not the first to say, Andy, but again, your alma mater getting screwed royally.
At Brockton again?
Yeah, playoff game they have to play, and they're playing at the team that they're playing. At Brockton High. It's not fair.
Second straight year
you guys
they
got
lost
a problem
by
with
a
your
point.
Field?
Oh, we don't
no,
have field
it's
turf.
Not,
you have to have field turf for
it's
the MIAA.
It's supposed to be a neutral site, and they play them at places with field turf. Now, the MIAA claims the Division I games need to be not only on field turf, but a place that's big enough to...
To hold the people.
You know, but it's not fair to make a
Dartmouth
team
getting
play.
Hosed, as always.
Well, is it a ticketed event?
Yeah.
And are they sold in advance, or do you walk up and buy them?
I have no idea. How is in that way
I'm
any
just wondering how many Rocket fans versus...
And meanwhile, the Patriots almost lost on Sunday night.
I meant this as a total aside to defend Andy. All of a sudden,
we're talking about tickets.
Ticketed
and
event.
Walk-up prices.
I just want to make sure. I want to see if they might even out a number of people on each side. You know, like if the Super Bowl set a neutral site and, you know, technically it's an equal amount of fans, but... Do your fans
I'm
have
guessing
access?
Brockton's going to have a bigger crowd since it's in Brockton.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Not if it's advanced ticketing.
Well, what are they going to?
What in the hell are you talking about?
It's in Brockton. Out?
I can't believe Feely threw that pass second down.
All right.
That was a great game though. Great game Sunday night.
It was well
a lot of good stuff
from an entertainment value.
Yeah,
it was a
very
great
good
game.
Yeah. But just the way
I
it
thought
was played,
the way it was played, I thought it was played at a very high level.
From my perspective, I would like to see a blowout.
No, I know.
It
no,
was
I almost, understand.
It was
that,
like a
friend.
Playoff game. It had a playoff atmosphere to
no,
it.
No, there was the game was in question. There's no doubt about that. That it was. Yep. It was a. And I know you were uptight about it. We were all uptight about it. We couldn't believe it. I think.
I mean, you couldn't give
the
nod.
Well, I gave no nods until Samuel picked off that pass.
Yeah, couldn't give the nod that it's a game.
Although, in full disclosure, if you had asked me after Samuel's first interception, I likely would have given you the nod then and had been wrong.
I mean, it was looking pretty bad for the Eagles right off the bat to have that happen. But, hey, you got to hand it to the Eagles. Like you were saying, Paul, earlier, they're a team that weren't afraid to do something different.
They came to win.
They showed up, and they did exactly what Tom and Andy and I have been saying all year. You have to have balls. You have to go after
it. When you hear Dick Geron say during his post-game press conferences, we kind of knew this could happen. It sounds to me like he's a coach that wanted to stay close with the Patriots and not get blown out. Andy Reid came here and said, if we get blown out, we get blown out. But we're coming to win this game. And he showed that by the way he coached, the offensively and defensively special teams. I thought it was a great game plan all the way around. And give credit to the Patriots. This is ESPN saying they've played two close games. I would say they played three. When you're behind in the third quarter on the road at Dallas, I know they put in that final touchdown to kind of make the score look worse than it was. But they've played three pretty tough games, two on the road, and they've won all three. So you can't say that they're winning just blowouts.
I give the Patriots a lot of credit for this game because I think that it's easy to – you know, if they have a sloppy game with a lot of turnovers, a lot of mistakes. I didn't really see that. You know, the Patriots were ahead 3-0 in the turnover battle, but yet they kept plugging. They didn't make a lot of problems. They were playing reasonably well. In other words, they didn't make life difficult on themselves. They needed to play well to win. And I give them credit for doing that and finding ways to do it. Sure, like Tom says, I don't understand why they went after Samuel there on that deciding drive.
Mind-boggling.
You know, and I my guess is that A.J. Feely will never be able to forget that he did that.
I mean, plus they were doing so well. I mean, they were moving the ball.
But give Samuel credit for having great coverage on the play and making the play, because that's why you won the game, is because Samuel made that play.
And I think when you look at good coaching, like we're always talking about bad coaching, so I think we should point out good coaching when it's not the Patriots. Ellis Hobbs goes out. Eddie Jackson comes in. We all say first thing we do is go after Eddie Jackson.
And
the Eagles did it, and they had a touchdown, but Feely underthrew the football. That was a great move by the Eagles coaching staff to try to get a cheap one on the Patriots.
They took away Randy Moss effectively. You know, he was there for some underneath passes, but no over-the-top passes.
Well, he had a big one that he dropped.
But it wasn't an easy catch.
No. It was a tough
play. No, but the difficult part was to get in position to make the play.
Andy's
He did the hard part and then didn't catch the ball.
They had good coverage on the play, but we've seen that a lot this year where guys, they've been double coverage and in position, but Moss finds a way to get his hands on the ball, and he did on
and
that play
and
didn't catch it.
And as I said yesterday, I've gotten to the point where if it hits him in the hands, I assume he's going to catch it.
What do you think, though, of all this talk about the Eagles have shown the league the blueprint of how to beat the Patriots?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably get into it a little bit on our TV show tonight, too, Fred, but I agree.
Is that the point counterpoint?
I agree with the guys.
Who's voted?
You are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Tom and I are going to do it.
I'm
taking the bullet. But Tom's going to say no. I'm going to say yes.
But the thing is, Fred, we all kind of know the blueprint. You have to pressure Brady. You have to be physical with the receivers, and you got to attack the defense down the field. We all know this. Only certain teams, I don't think, can do it. Right. The Eagles did it because they have a good secondary, and they had guts. They had some balls on the offensive side not to run the ball into the line just to run the football. They said, you know what, we can't run it, so we're just going to throw it.
And they did the nice, you know, onside kick, which didn't end up in points, but it was a sign.
You know, the symbolism of what it meant.
Yeah.
They were going to leave no stone on. They had a flea flicker in the game that only resulted in a first down throw.
Right.
It wasn't a 50-yard touchdown that changed the game.
Well, Hank Baskett kept working.
They had the onside kick. They had the flea flicker. They went for a fourth down and converted it early in the game.
Yep.
But it was really early in the game, too.
Yep.
They showed that Andy Reid showed his team that we're not going to be content here to show up and have a moral victory. We're going after it. This is what you do when the other team is great, and the Patriots are great. These are the things you have to do. You know, they fell short. And I give the Patriots the credit for that because falling into the trap that, the Patriots didn't take them. Look, I thought they were going to blow them out. I was wrong. So was everybody else.
So was everybody else.
The Patriots played a good football game Sunday night. The Eagles played a good football team, and the Patriots won.
And they weren't down for that game. It wasn't like they caught the Patriots sweeping.
I don't think they came out
flat. That was a very high,
whatever that
counts. Game was high intensity all the way through.
What I thought Philadelphia did, and the Patriots, you know, they didn't play their best game of the year either. I don't want to make it sound like that. But what I thought Philadelphia did a good job of is they made the Patriots work for all their yards. And, you know, instead of letting them catch, you know, a 10-yard slant and then having Dante Stallworth go 80 for a touchdown or Moss just catch a bomb for a touchdown, they made them work for it. Moss, Welker caught 13 passes. That's a lot of passes. 149 yards. Kept them out of the end zone, though, and they made them work their way down the field slowly and methodically. And when it's all said and done, they only scored 24 points on offense. Now, I say only. That's a lot of points. If you score 24 points every week in this league, right, you're probably going to win.
You're going to win most of your games.
But that's half of what they've been scoring.
Even
the Stallworth catch, I mean, he had to make – I mean, Gaffney, he had to make a great catch.
Great catch in the end zone.
To get that.
That was a huge play.
Yeah.
Because they have to kick a field goal probably if he doesn't catch that pass.
Now, Brady had huge numbers as far as yards goes, only had one touchdown pass. But does this kind of end the argument about who's MVP, Moss or Brady on the team? Because they took away Moss, yet Brady's
going to win the MVP.
There was never really a legit
argument. Well, it wasn't
argument.
Well,
sort of
I agree with Fred.
I think it was legit.
Well, I don't think anyone really thought that.
You mean the league
MVP
or the?
Yeah, I think a lot of people.
Both.
I know you guys have been on this. I don't really understand the distinction of league MVP and team MVP.
Because the league MVP, they've proven that they're going to give it to a quarterback that has a big year.
No, but we're talking about who you think should win it, not who you think is going to win it.
I think Brady should win.
Brady,
I
both
think
questions.
If you throw 60 touchdown
yeah,
passes.
I think so.
But there were some people saying it's really Moss that's really changed.
But I don't think anyone legitimately.
I think people legitimately
believe it. It was a talking point or a talk radio argument.
I think it's an interesting talking point because you can make an argument for
but
Moss.
But I think this kind of.
See, I don't think there is a legitimate argument for Randy Moss for league MVP. I just don't. Well, on the team with Tom Brady, I just don't.
They took him out of the game, and the Patriots barely won and only scored 24 points.
And Tom Brady threw for 380 yards.
Yeah,
one touchdown.
I think Brady's the guy, and I've been saying that all along. I think that when you make a mockery of the court, you know, you're playing the most important position, and you're making a mockery of the statistics at that spot. To me, that means that's the best you can.
He's the best player.
He's the best player.
Mine was just the take one guy away. If Bill Belichick go up to him, hold a gun to his head, and say, "I'm taking one of them. You can only save one."
Well, that is
you want to
Randy.
Go,
that is sort
I've had fun with
test.
You. It was a good
right.
If you
want
to go literal. Then that then
I mean,
there
that's
is there
the most
is absolutely
valuable player
no
is
if you want to go literal value when you're taking one
value.
Guy away,
right.
There is no debate. But you know, to Tom's point about Moss, you know, look, 24 points is still a highly productive game.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's not 48
right.
The way it's been so many other games when Moss has been involved. Look, I think it's different. They didn't have the dynamic aspect of the attack that they've had in a lot of other games with Moss catching these long touchdowns, but it was just as effective in the end.
If you're and one of the reasons why they – I'm sorry, Tom.
Well, I was going to say, if you're going to make an argument for Moss, the two things you could say was this Eagles game, and until the fourth quarter of the Colts game, he had pretty much been, you know, kept in check too, and they only had 10 points. So that would be your argument for Moss is when you kind of take him out of the offense, you're back to just a pretty good offense.
Well, one of the reasons why they were able to take Moss out was because they were getting pressure on Brady. He didn't have time
pressure.
Mm-hmm. To wait for Moss to get downfield. He was banged up. He got hit hard on that early in the game and then was pressured throughout. So, you know, a good job by the Eagles to get pressure on Brady as well.
And they haven't gotten pressure on the quarterback all year. So, that you know, they obviously stepped up their game there. And
It wasn't necessarily, you know, and I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, that's what the Eagles do. They blitz and they had a lot of, you know, these rushes coming from all sides. And I don't think it was really like that. I thought they just had consistent pressure throughout the game. They only had 3 sacks, and that was 59 dropbacks.
Right.
That's a lot. It wasn't about sacks. It was about rhythm, I thought.
And one of the sacks was Brady kind of running out of the
pocket.
And
some of the pressures
all 3 of the sacks, you could make an argument and say they were coverage sacks.
They were coverage sacks,
because
yeah,
he had
yeah,
a chance
yeah.
to look and cock the ball, and then he got hit.
Yeah. But about the big one.
Yeah, if you watch it again, he looks like he wanted to throw it and didn't have anybody to throw to. That's why I think it was the pressure.
I still think that he's unloading it quick there. I don't consider that a coverage.
Yeah,
sack.
He would have got leveled even if he had just gotten rid of it. He would have been hit hard. But that leads to.
And you're okay. That's okay. We're allowed to have different opinions on a play.
That leads to the lack of balance that the Patriots showed in the first half.
Thank you for that.
Right.
I mean, they ran the ball.
Well, you get all worked up. No one else does.
They had actually one running play, which was the Heath Evans touchdown. Otherwise, it was Brady scrambling.
According to the Herald, Lawrence Barone had 2 touchdowns.
Really?
Huh? See that?
For the season.
The report card.
What was that all about?
No idea.
Listen, I'm just going to say it the way it is. When Sammy Morris was in the game, they gave him the ball 21 times in back-to-back games, okay? I'm having a hard time believing that just happened to be the game plan those 2 weeks. If you're going to give a journeyman backup running back, if you have more confidence in letting him run the ball, because right now, this is what we're saying, Fred, On passing downs, we're going with Kevin Falk. So Maroney can't pass protect, can't catch a football. On short yardage plays, we're going with Heath Evans. So Maroney isn't a good short yardage runner. Now, what the hell is he? You know what I mean? What is he, then?
Well, that's one thing I think has been proven wrong. I think he's had two good touchdown runs the last 2 weeks. So that's
especially this one.
Right.
That was a good
He had a big hole
run
last week, but this week, I mean, he had a good run. So that's one of those. Heath Evans is...
I don't understand the short yardage thing. I do understand the Kevin Falk thing. If you're going to go with a spread offense and you're going to go no huddle, you have Kevin Falk on the field, or Tom Brady's going to get hurt.
I'm still not buying
He's one of the best in the business
plan.
At what he does.
I'm sorry. I just don't think a guy doesn't step on the field.
Doesn't make any sense
plan.
To me. I totally
And he
agree.
Clearly wasn't hurt because he played the second half.
Right.
So in my mind, I'm just assuming here, and I know nothing, he was suspended for the first half. He was disciplined something. There was a reason he didn't step on the field. They show him with his helmet on. That's one of those telltale, I'm sulking behind the coach signs. I'm just assuming there's something
isn't
more
that
to this
even
story.
Isn't that even bigger problem,
Could
though?
Be, yeah.
Because here we are. He's obviously doing something here where the coaches don't have confidence in him for some reason. You know, don't give me that he's hurt, but he carried the ball 10 times.
It wasn't an injury.
It wasn't an injury. It was, I think, again, my opinion, he was reprimanded, suspended, whatever, for
Could
the first
Could it have had
half.
Anything to do with that diaper thing?
Could be. And then I also thought yesterday when someone asked about Maroney, Bill said, I just answered that. No, you didn't. You talked about the offense scores points. We're going out there to have them score points. To me, if you just answered that, if you're considering that the answer, then that's saying you have no confidence in Lawrence Maroney to contribute to the offense.
Right.
So I also added that to a little snippy answer of maybe he was suspended.
Well, did you hear him at all on EEI?
Is suspension the right word I'm using? What word do I
Disciplined.
Want to use?
Disciplined.
Disciplined.
You know, reprimanded.
Yeah.
You know, let's make sure we stress it again.
Just opinion. I know nothing.
No one has told us that behind the scenes. We know it was weird that he sat out the entire half and then got 10 carries in the second half. 10 carries, a regular workload. That's a 20-carry game.
Right.
Well,
it's a regular
for him,
workload.
That's more than a regular
right.
workload.
Yeah. So unless we were... But, I mean, that dismisses, like you guys said, it dismisses the injury.
My only speculation, I told this to Tom during the game, is maybe they're going to pass on every down to kind of make the Eagles' defense run on every play, you know, chasing around Brady
but
and the receivers,
to
and then
in
loosen
ever?
Him up in
That's
the second half
point.
And then run it.
That's where
but
I
that,
this
and
is
that
where
wasn't
I
the case either.
This is
I
where
don't
I think
disagree
so,
with
no.
Paul a little bit. They threw the ball, what, like 30 times in the first half? Now, I understand Kevin Falk's going to get his run. Are you telling me if Joseph Addai's on this team, Kevin Falk plays every one of those snaps?
I don't know what kind right. of
Joseph
Addai
is. Joseph Addai is a solid back in the passing game. No, Maroney's not.
Well, that's my point. If he can't do that, and you can't use him on short yardage.
Well, I don't think you can't use him on short yardage.
But they didn't even run any draw plays to Falk either. I mean, usually they'll do that right. on a
But
pass,
you would think you know? That when you're spreading people out 4 or 5 wide, you would have Maroney in there sometimes to run those draw plays.
Right.
All we said last year is Joseph Addai is a product of the system. Where's Lawrence? Well, come Lawrence. Maroney isn't a product of a system. They're scoring more points. They're throwing for more yards than any team in history.
But in this game, they clearly weren't going to run the ball.
They didn't run any draws.
Right. So there was no option there. There was no. So if you're going to have a back there, it's your best pass protector.
Bill said that he thought that was the matchups that gave him the best chance to win was to spread them out. I don't know. He wouldn't say. I asked him after the game about Philadelphia's defense. He wouldn't comment on the defense. He just said that they had the ball 3 times in the first half, and they scored 17 points.
I just think you're spreading them out, and I'm watching Brady get what even Jaquay Thomas says was a great play by me, laying Brady out and getting up slow. I have Lawrence Maroney in on the next play, and I run the ball.
Yeah, that's
I'm
what
sorry.
That's what I don't understand.
Your reaction, because you
I don't
make,
understand the
all
game
we
plan.
Hear is New England defenses tell us if we can make an opponent one-dimensional, we win.
Right.
We don't even have to play defense. When we make them one-dimensional, we win. Yeah. Well, Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, and company made the Patriots one-dimensional in the first half against the Eagles, and the Eagles almost won.
Right, and I'll say that even though they were successful in putting some points on the board, I don't necessarily think it looked the same.
Right.
Doing it. And Tom and I actually brought up the Washington game. And everybody forgets again because it ended up 52-7. It was a joke. The game started kind of similar to this game in that some of the things the Redskins were trying to do, you could see. And they were making the Patriots really work at it. They were making them convert on third down. Now, the Patriots are so good, they're going to execute. That's why they're the best team in the league. Even when you make them earn it, they're going to earn it most of the time. And then Washington's offense kept going 3 and out, and before you knew it, they got beaten down into a pulp, and the game was over. For example, the Samuel pick happens to make it 7-0. If Philadelphia goes out there and goes 3 and out, It's probably
then I get the nod.
It's probably 14-0 and on the way to a 56-10 game.
Right. Then I get the nod from.
But
you.
Philadelphia responded. They, you know, they augmented what they were trying to do on defense and made the Patriots do it again. They actually forced a punt or two. They stopped a fourth down in the second half. They played hard.
Would this have happened if Donovan McNabb was
no.
the quarterback?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think he would have executed like that.
And I'm not saying that A.J. Feely's a better quarterback than McNabb, okay? I'm just saying if you're asking me for this particular game, one game, I would have rather had Feely in there for that kind of game plan. Kind of like Atlanta a couple years ago when it was better to have Shaw because the Patriots couldn't stop the pass then and he was able to get the ball down the field.
I think the Donovan McNabb era is over in Philly. I think they like anyone other than Donovan McNabb. I don't think the team likes him. I don't whatever the
I
dynamic is,
I
think it's
the
gone.
Field
right.
He and his mother are out.
And that's
I agree with that.
He might have success somewhere else. He might go somewhere and play. I think he's talented. I think he has some
just
skills.
Time to separate.
It's just not working. Yep. Go a different direction.
Good. We talked about the whole blueprint thing. It's kind of a joke. But what did we learn? You know, maybe we already knew it.
Secondary
but
stinks.
This whole secondary, not just the secondary.
I think we learned definitively.
But I think the linebackers and coverage.
I think we learned definitively. If the Patriots don't get a lot of pressure on the passer, they're vulnerable to the pass.
And so we've talked about it all
year.
That
doesn't mean they're
going to
lose games.
Which most teams are because they say in this league, if you give any quarterback time, he's going to find an open receiver. But, you know, they were getting hit with quick passes.
I think it showed that the Steelers have a shot.
It wasn't really a lot of time that he had because I thought they had
decent pressure.
Yeah, they didn't get sacks per se, but I thought they were around the passer and made him get rid of the ball.
Rosie got one, but you know.
Well, no, he was sacked twice. One of them he fell, and the other one was the fumble that he recovered on his own. So really, they didn't have a legitimate sack in the game. But you know, the interception to Samuel for the touchdown was caused by Adalys Thomas getting heavy pressure quickly up the middle. You know,
and this is a team that can't rush the passer. I mean, they've had trouble with that all year. So you look at the Steelers. Here's a team that can rush the passer. They got similar makeup to their team as the Eagles. The difference is their secondary isn't quite as strong. But I think I don't think it gives the league hope. But it doesn't give the Giants and the Jets and the Dolphins. They don't give them any hope. Right. They don't have any hope to begin with. But I think if you're looking at the one team that has a chance, the Steelers, I think maybe you say if they can protect Roethlisberger a little bit, it gives them hope to maybe come in here and spring the upset.
Especially if they get some of their guys back. If they get Polamalu back, I don't know how seriously he's injured and it's Antonio Holmes, because I think Ward can be taken out of a game as a possession. Yeah, I think a lot of Ward. Okay, I think he's a very good player, but if he's by himself as a possession guy, I can see the Patriots sort of neutralizing him. But if you have Holmes as a kind of a home run threat on the other side, now you know he can kind of operate in between those hashes that Andy was talking about all through the game the other night. We were watching all of those Eagles receivers kind of go unchecked in that middle of the field. That's what you wrote in your analysis. I think it was right on. I mean, there was these wide open gaps.
I think they targeted Westbrook, and I think on some level, maybe it's only 20%, they feared Curtis over the top. The guy averages 16 yards a catch, whatever. He's a big play type guy. And I think those were one and two that they were looking for in pass defense. And if you're taking away the short, you're taking away the long, well, that's obviously going to leave you a little vulnerable in the middle. I mean, Bill tells us all the time, you can't take away everything.
Yeah, right. And if you're looking at the blueprint, that's the biggest flaw in it. And, you know, as a Cowboy guy, there's no one I have more respect for than Brian Westbrook. He is a heck of a football player. And not too many people have that.
Right.
A guy who can run for 100, who can catch it for 100. So when you're trying to take Westbrook out of the game, I think it opens up some other things.
In this game, it wasn't what he did. It was you fearing what he can do and trying to stop that.
Like you said yesterday, Andy.
I agree.
Willis McGahee can't do that.
He can't
you know
do
what
it.
I mean?
But
I'll stop
ahead.
Him with one guy.
But let's look
Will
ahead.
Fork.
Let's look ahead to Pittsburgh, though. Can Willie Parker, and I know Parker's not the passing
the passing game
but is he a guy that you think the Patriots will say we got to stop him? Is that the guy?
To some degree, but not in the same way, because Westbrook, it's the passing, it's everything, it's the draws, it's
and he's so
they don't
much.
Have to
so
do
versatile.
Anything special to stop Willie Parker.
You got
to
stop the run, just like you got to stop the run every week. He
and
just
then
can
you
hit
put
it
in
Roethlisberger's
hands, and you hope he makes some mistakes.
Right, and you talk about Holmes. I think you lack the over the top threat. They have
the
pieces
guys
in place,
Cedric Wilson and Nate Washington,
but they don't. They're not healthy, and it's a little different. So.
I think it was Ellis Hobbs after the game. He said something that kind of caught my eye. He said they kind of exposed a couple things or something that we were trying to hide. Was it he that said that?
Yeah, I think so.
You were in on Hobbs, right?
Yeah. What was he talking about?
I don't know.
You don't know? You didn't follow that up?
It was him. I think he meant him.
I think he was talking about his inability. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I just think it was the way they were playing defense. I don't think it was anything specific. He was just admitting we were trying to take away a couple things. maybe keep them from thinking we were trying to do that, and they hit the things we were leaving.
Injury front, Will Fork went out early but came back. He seems okay. Gay went out with a bad back after being torched a couple times. And Colvin went out with something.
Foot. More Although the Boston Globe thinks it's an arm.
There's two
reason.
Different schools of thought on this. One, you know, I heard the ESPN radio say an arm today, too. But
that's because they read the Boston Globe.
We were told that he was seen on crutches after the game. So if they're covering
up. Plus, they announced foot.
Well, they announced foot, but, I don't necessarily, much like, for example, there was nobody on the injury report last week. You think no one was injured?
No, but I think the league will look into it if NBC complains they announced foot Roosevelt Colvin, and next week he ends up on the injury report with an arm.
Yeah.
I don't think you can just be flat out
of
lying.
Of
like
Gay
that.
And no, Colvin.
There was a, hold on a second, Fred, because there was a little bit of a thing, I guess, it got a little testy at the press conference yesterday. And he
it looks
was,
like it got testy a few different times based on the transcript.
I guess asking the question.
Someone asked a question early. I think Karen Garigian from the Boston
the
Herald.
Leg?
The Bulldog, Karen Garigian.
She asked a question early about just updating any injury status on Colvin. And as Bill Norman, Wednesday the injury report comes out, blah, blah, blah. And I guess John Tomasi, also from the Boston Herald, later followed up and said, can you just confirm, was it an arm injury or a leg injury? It looked like the trainers were working on his arm on the sideline, but they announced foot. And Belichick said, well, we announced foot? And then he looked at Stacy and said, well, what do we announce? Well, then that's what it was. And it led you to believe that, well, is that what it is, or is that what you announced?
I think they're going to get in trouble then if it's an arm injury.
No, that's the only reason why I bring that
I don't
up.
Think you
now,
can
like
flat
I said,
lie.
I was told, someone who would know told me that it was foot.
If
you're on crutches, that's putting pressure on
you. Well, that's what I'm saying. Someone told me he was seen on crutches.
Speaking of Belichick, did you guys hear him on EEI yesterday?
Actually, one crutch.
No.
It was very interesting. There was one part where I think he actually,
we were on the radio.
Was listening to what they were saying.
We were listening to our competition.
And was concerned about what they were saying. They were talking to him about NBC's coverage of the game and how – using, I guess, a parabolic mic, they had basically Brady mic'd up.
Right.
They were...
We didn't see this.
Yeah, they
heard about
you could hear everything Brady was saying while he was at the line of scrimmage, and they weren't doing it for Feely. And Belichick said, yeah, he will look into that.
That's interesting.
Now, you're sure they weren't doing it?
I don't know. I'm just...
I mean, I don't know.
No, they weren't. It's everybody who saw it said the same thing.
Okay.
We had several emails about obviously. But
I don't buy into our emails. I need two sides of the coin to tell me what they saw.
There's a nice feud brewing here between Bill and NBC. Yeah. Those who watch the broadcast might have noticed.
Well, we might as well get all the networks. We don't like ESPN.
Wes Welker was doing an interview with Andrea Kramer. And someone was telling him to cut it short. And Welker said to Andrea Kramer, Bill Belichick's calling me. I have to go. I choose him over you. And Andrea Kramer looked stunned, and they went back to the studio, and Acosta says, oh, mommy's calling. You got to run to your mommy. But that goes
That's
back,
a good line.
But that goes back to when NBC was complaining about the injury report, and he had to take Welker off. Remember when he was out with a team decision on Friday, and they said
you
have to disclose? So obviously Bill and NBC aren't seeing eye to eye. And
it might be. That could be, but it also could be that the rest of the team's in there, and he wants you in there so that he can address you.
They
guys.
Don't like him to do interviews on the field.
No, I know that.
And
so that's a general.
Brady and Moss did it the week before, and maybe Bill said, I don't want you doing anything with NBC.
Right.
It
could be.
Listen, we're speculating on this, but one thing we're not speculating on is Bill Belichick can hold a grudge.
This was after the game, you're saying, with the Welker thing?
Yeah.
It is interesting. Did she want to date him, too?
No, she wasn't.
She didn't have to listen.
As starry-eyed as she was the week before.
Plus, she didn't have to look up in that.
Right.
She
could see eye to eye.
She was looking
down. Not even Andrea Kramer likes Wes Welker.
So
he's just a guy.
A lot to talk about.
He's going to have 120 receptions this year.
Yeah, he's on pace for 118.
He's going to the Pro Bowl. Easy.
Ridiculous.
A lot to talk about in this game.
We should probably touch on Sean Taylor.
Sean Taylor, we definitely need to. But before, I was going to say... Colvin or Gay, which do you think is the bigger loss if you had to lose one of them?
Colvin.
The bigger loss?
The bigger loss? I think Gay is because you need
that
depth.
I'd actually like to bench Colvin whether he's healthy or not.
I think both of them are significant, but I think they have five linebackers in four spots, and there's no one else there, in my opinion.
Now, if someone else gets hurt, like if you take Colvin off and have to put Thomas outside, right now you're not
dying. You're fine with
that. But if Bruschi or someone goes down, now you're in big trouble.
Bruschi and Sale playing every snap the rest of the way concerns me.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that concerns
I just worry
me.
I'd rather have Colvin go down.
Yeah.
And no, listen, in terms of the player, you're
actually,
right.
I'd rather have both of them go down based on their performances last week.
No, there's no question. Colvin's loss as a player right now, the way he's playing, his production is not a big loss. Right. I just think that 4 weeks from now, you might be looking and saying, well, we lost Colvin. It's a long-term injury.
We still got Eric Alexander.
Now we lost Brewski.
Guy's good enough to start a title game. He can't start in December?
All of a sudden, you got Larry Izzo out there. You know, who knows what happens? I just think that they
plus,
don't have
I
a lot
see
of depth there.
Thomas on the outside so he can have 4 sacks next week, and I can say, you've been wasting him all year. Every time he steps outside,
there's no doubt that if you were forced to go with those 4 guys and now Thomas on the outside, I think in the short term, you're better off.
Now,
I agree with you on that.
I think, obviously Asante Samuel's the defensive star of the day for the Patriots, but I thought that Thomas and Vrabel had pretty good games, especially in the first half.
I thought they both played well.
Yeah, I thought they
Thomas
both played well.
Thomas caused the interception when he ran.
And he also ran down a couple guys in the open field.
And they both tackled well.
Yeah.
Vrabel had a 2 or 3 in a lot of space on Westbrook that
very good tackles.
Just wrapped him up and tackled him, whereas
Colvin didn't.
Brewski did.
Brewski had a couple. Colvin had a couple of whiffs. Brewski had a couple that he made, but ended up being, instead of a 2 or 3 yard gain, ended up being a 4 or 5 yard gain. And those they might not seem like a lot, but that's what Welker does to you. Yeah. Welker, you hit him, and he somehow squirts forward, and instead of 2nd and 5, it's 2nd and 3.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Well, and I think overall the team played very well against the run, but they just had trouble with the pass. I mean, it's pretty evident.
Yeah.
And, you got to worry about that.
Yep.
I mean,
if I was playing the Patriots, I'd say, hey, Asante, take the night off, my friend, because I'd be attacking every person not wearing the number 22.
Just have your receiver tell him, let's brother-in-law this. We'll both stay at the line of scrimmage. Then we're not throwing over here. You don't have to run anywhere.
Well,
they're not throwing
for the
to
Patriots,
me.
Too.
You know they're not throwing to me, and you don't have to cover me. I don't have to go out. Let's
all right, but my prediction, though, is still holding that I said that every game that Maroney plays from here on in, he'll get a touchdown. So he managed to get a touchdown in this game, so I'm still on board with that.
You said more than that, didn't you?
All I said was, as long as he's not injured, any game he plays in from this point on, he'll have at least one touchdown.
I thought you said more than that, but okay.
No, that's all.
While we're on the secondary, can we talk about the healthy Eugene Wilson?
Nothing to do with yards. What?
Scratch.
What?
Eugene Wilson is now a healthy scratch on this team.
Told you he couldn't play.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think that is
a
big statement. I mean, when
suddenly
you look
Paul's
at
believing the injury report again,
at,
picking and choosing
I'm
when he
not
believes.
Believing the
if
injury
you're
report,
about
he wasn't
Eugene
on it.
Wilson
oh, that's
from,
true.
From 04, wouldn't you say, geez, they could have used him out there that
yeah.
Can that
I give
game,
you,
right?
Can I give you my Oliver Stone theory for the injury report this week?
What?
And you can laugh at me if you want. I don't care. They were playing the Philadelphia Eagles, and what I would consider the absolute polar opposite of Bill Belichick when it comes to injuries.
Right.
And Tom actually talked
Andy
about
Andy Reid holds up X-rays.
Andy Reid, we remember from the postseason when Andy and I did it a couple of years ago down there in the first game, I think, at Lincoln Financial Field. He starts every press conference with a detailed briefing of the media on the injuries. This one started Broderick Bunkley, he's got a hamstring, might be a little bit more serious than we thought. In every way, in terms of injuries, he's the polar opposite of Bill Belichick. I think Bill yanked everybody off of his injury list this week intentionally because he was saying, you do it your way, Andy, and you think that helps you. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to be as vague and I don't want to use the word
cheating.
Illegal because it's not illegal. It's just I'm going to do it the total opposite way you do.
Right.
You're going to disclose everything. I'm going to disclose absolutely nothing.
Well, I think this whole injury report thing, and it's not just the Patriots.
Stop.
A lot of teams are being questioned and what they're doing. Even the holier-than-thou Tony Dungy was questioned on Vinatieri a couple weeks ago. I just think it's coming to a head, this whole injury report thing. The league needs to figure this out.
By the way, I thought that was stupid by Florio in Pro Football Talk.
Oh, about Vinatieri?
Yeah, because the guy, was it Steve Tasker that was saying he has a problem with his plant leg?
Right.
Well, was there even a 1% chance that he wasn't going to play in the game?
Right.
Well, then he shouldn't have been on the injury report.
That's the spirit of the injury report, right. But
I'm saying there was no chance that he wasn't going to play.
But the league will say, and those like Florio will say, but the injury report, if you're injured, you're supposed to be on it.
I don't think so. I think it's supposed to be you have to have a 25% chance to not play.
Well, I mean, I don't know. But it's getting ridiculous because every team handles it differently. And what they want to do is
they want to make
it uniform,
so
uniform, and it's just not the way. And I think what Belichick does, and he's perfectly within his rights to do it, is he shows the inconsistency of it.
I just don't see how these guys went from Wednesday, there was two or three guys, four or five guys on the injury list,
and
on Friday
nobody.
They were gone.
Right.
To me, that was not a coincidence that Philadelphia played.
But also, Paul, he could be agreeing with you. Every guy had a chance to play, so why should I list them?
I think that he does that every week, and he does list them. This week they were playing Andy Reid.
I just sort of like poking everything. Bill Beck. If you put out an injury report, I'm taking that it's the truth. Therefore, Eugene Wilson is a healthy scratch. Did not play. It was your decision. Had nothing to do with injury.
Right.
I can't agree more with that.
Right.
I got to play by the rules that are in place.
That's what you have to do.
So he's a healthy scratch, which means he's now the, what did we say, yes, ninth defensive back on the team or something?
Rashad Baker's ahead of him.
Rashad Baker's ahead of him. Brandon Merriweather's ahead of him because he's at least active, so he's got to be ahead of him.
Well, the other thing that I can't, you know, and I think you're right, and I agree with you. That's what you have to do when they, you have no alternative, but I also think that at the very least, he's going to be playing special. He plays special teams,
right.
Gene Wilson. And I can't imagine.
He's
if he
not
was
good
healthy.
Enough for that anymore.
Yeah, I can't. I just can't imagine that.
I got a feeling that if he doesn't re-sign here, you're never going to hear from Eugene Wilson again.
I think Patriots fans will add him to that list. Bill knows his talent.
I think Bill got the most out of a mediocre player. That's just my opinion.
I think that he's just lazy.
I think he's a talented player
who's a huge part
got no heart, no work ethic.
I think you guys are right on the money.
His story coming out of Illinois, and I
same
remember
story.
Writing his thing was.
Oh, was it that he was a?
He was a very regressed. Talented player, who. Didn't do, quote, and this was, I forget, I'm not even going to say the name of the coach, I don't remember anyway, but I wouldn't do it, but one of the Illinois coaches said that he didn't do the things off the field necessary to be as good a player as he could be. He was great as a sophomore, he was good as a junior, okay as a senior.
Well, there you have it.
That's the pattern. He didn't, he
great as a
do
rookie, good as a second-year player, haven't heard from him since.
And the guy was talking about film study, team meetings, watching things. Weight room. Those are the things he was talking about. Not a bad kid. He said he's a terrific kid.
Yeah, seems like a good guy.
You know, everybody likes him. He's a nice kid, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't do all the things off the field necessary. Patriots kind of poo-pooed that a little bit at the beginning because he played so well as a rookie. But I could see him coming in and maybe changing his way, saying, okay, I'm at the NFL
right.
level. I got to do these things. Then he has initial success and
too
says,
too much success.
Okay,
lot,
I don't have to do it.
Sense.
I could do whatever I want.
And then when he goes to another team, like Herm Edwards, they'll just let him do whatever he wants.
And you know what? To illustrate your point, Tom, maybe he has a decent
he
year
might
once,
one
and then he goes right back
yep.
and does whatever he wants.
Although
you know.
You'd also think he'd be having that year this year to earn some money.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, you're right.
All right, Gary. We'll take a break. We'll get back to your emails.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, it's time to get your emails. They're coming in. They're flowing in like a river running down the Rocky Mountains.
I was wondering where he was going with that.
They're just streaming in here. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. No, Webradio at Patriots.com.
Did you ever see this infomercial thing?
Phone number is 508-543-7482.
This reminds me of the guy that's walking by, just sticks a piece of gum at the dam, and he's putting plugging up the hole in the dam with a piece of gum. Oh, yeah, that'll do it. That's what this stuff reminds me of.
Is this glue?
Yeah.
Well, it's not just glue. It's everything.
Oh, it's putty.
It's this putty that turns it. If you need a new handle on your coffee mug, you can roll it into
a new
handle.
You just roll it up, and you put it on, and it's
it fixes everything. It fills wood, glues
you
this.
It's spackle.
Oh, come on. It can't work.
No.
Come on, Fred. Why don't you buy it?
I might.
It's glue. It's spackle. It can be. You can form into a chain link and put two pieces of chain together and hold up a...
You take it out. You break off a piece, and you roll it in your hand, and then all of a sudden you're picking up a cinder block with it.
Mighty
putty. That's like that old commercial with the guy who stuck that, remember the super glue where he stuck it on his helmet? And he was hanging from the. Yeah.
I'm sold.
Yeah, but at least the super glue. I don't know if that would have worked, but the super glue worked.
No,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Until it's.
All right,
this is the kind of thing, God rest his soul, my grandfather would be all over this thing. And then 20 minutes later, he'd be calling my father, don't fall for that mighty putty stuff.
My grandfather will be all over it too, Fred.
Dieter's dad used to call him stump removers because he had a stump in his front yard, and there was this commercial for this powder that supposedly you dump on the stump, and like a month later, the stump's gone. Of course, it didn't work.
Magic fairy dust. All right, webradiopatriots.com. We got a lot of emails coming in. I'll try to go around and pick out some notable ones. One I'd like to start off with is from Dave in Abingdon, Virginia. And he says, why are you questioning the best coach ever? Look at all his accomplishments. And he goes in and he lists all the titles that they've won and the washed-up players that he's rehabbed, like Dylan, Harrison, Seau, Moss.
McGinnis.
Letting people go like Law, Branch, Bledsoe, Vinatieri, Slade, McGinnis. Losing the coaches like Weiss, Crennel.
To the point of the email. We
know his resume.
He thinks that we're questioning Bill Belichick.
Listen,
I'm not questioning.
We all think he's the best coach in the world, but every now and then we're going to say things.
We just wonder why they had that game plan.
If you're looking for something else, because I don't remember this guy ever emailing in, then turn off the freaking computer right now because I'm not in the mood for ball-washing crap.
Let's go for another step here. The Patriots did something at the start of that game offensively that they threw the ball every single play except one. Okay, they had a one-yard TD plunge for Heath Evans. They scored 17 points on three possessions, right, Andy? That's what Bill told me?
Yep.
They must have thought so much of that that they decided to scrap that in the second half and go to a regular conventional offense. Now, why do you think that was? Now, you think that maybe they thought that even though it was working, we were moving the ball, this is kind of dangerous. We don't really have to do this. And they went to a conventional attack, and Bill said it. Bill said that Philadelphia made some adjustments.
Or the running back was off suspension and could play again.
Could be.
And,
could be.
Maybe he saw, maybe Bill saw this as a 24-point game, wanted to suspend Maroney, said, I can throw it in the first half and still win this game. It's not, you know, I don't
Bill
need to be balanced.
Bill makes adjustments. I know people might find that hard to believe, but he actually makes adjustments in the game. And as we're not questioning Bill Belichick, Paul, how's how's Doug Gabriel working out for you? Where's Rashay Caldwell? So don't tell us we can never question any moves, because when we were doing it last year and got killed, all of a sudden this team got Wes Welker, Dante Stallworth, and Randy Moss. So every now and then he may make a mistake. I know that's
and
hard
we
to
all
believe.
Think that he's great. We all think he's the best in the league. So, I mean,
but that's one of the few games where I think a coach coached as well, if not a little bit better,
sure.
than him.
Well, that's what I thought was funny, is to get a competitive game, it took... And I said this yesterday, a coach that most people wanted to resign 2 months ago because of his personal issues,
right.
a backup quarterback, a group of receivers that wouldn't really scare anybody, this nondescript receivers, and somehow you put that all together and it was the biggest challenge of the season.
What do you think? Did you guys hear any of Belichick on EEI?
Fred did. He was listening to him instead of me.
I don't think it was.
I can't get you. I'm
I don't
sorry.
Know. It,
online you can.
I don't know when he said
ESPN.
It.
ESPN.com.
He didn't say nothing worth
it. But it was about Maroney. And he was asked about, you know, why Maroney didn't play. And he went over the top of how much he yeah. loves Maroney.
I heard. I read
They've been
the
doing
thing.
That all along.
And
we can run the ball. And McDaniel's good, saying we can stay balanced. We can run if we need to.
He's a good running back. And we love him and what he does. And blah, blah, blah. It was weird to me. It was almost like it was protesting too much. It was
well,
weird.
The thing is, it's amazing to me that Patriots fans haven't learned how to read between his lines like we have. If he's going that over the top on somebody, that's not good news.
Somebody who's done nothing.
Right.
Not Randy Moss. Okay, he says he's the greatest ever. Well, he's played like it.
His normal response to a player is, he's pretty good. He's a good
right.
player. He does this. You can almost verbatim say what Bill's going to say about every player. When he starts using the word love and this and that, that means something ain't right with right. that situation.
I think it's a facade. I think they've realized he can't play, but they don't want other teams to know they don't have a running back.
And you know what's going to happen next year, Fred? You know how we're getting killed on Maroney now like we were the receivers? Darren McFadden, if they draft him, first 80-yard run. You watch the bandwagon jumpers get off Maroney.
This is what Maroney should have done.
I'm still not off Maroney. I'm still, I think he's going to be okay.
I'm off.
No, he's still on the roster.
Josh.
Yeah, he'll jump off at the same time they take his jersey from his back.
Exactly.
Josh from Arlington, Virginia. We talked earlier about how NBC was, you could hear Brady's signal, but he makes a good point. You can't do it with Feely because the crowd was too noisy.
See, that's what I was asking. Were they doing it, or was it just the perception
well,
of the listeners?
Right?
I didn't see the game on TV. I didn't see the telecast, but that crowd was not too noisy.
No, but it would probably be a little bit more noisy when the Eagles are on offense and they're cheering a little bit.
I agree with that. But
however that plays with their little microphones or little parabolics.
I would be interested to talk to Bill about it because I don't really know exactly what we're – I don't know exactly what – Bill was saying that he wants to look into a why, you know, because I don't understand from a coaching perspective. But if Brady is yelling out things like the mic, like we always know he does, and, you know, Jabbar,
I heard the great Omaha debate
Omaha.
Yesterday.
Omaha, Jabbar is the
Everybody
hot
knows what Omaha means.
I guess he said something about Jabbar is the hot read on one of the plays
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But can't the defense hear that when they're on the field?
Wait a minute. He supposedly right. said Jabbar is the hot read?
Something like
he said
that.
Said it to, I think, the Moss. He goes, Randy, you're hot.
Okay, maybe that's what it was.
Something like that. Yeah.
And wait a minute, the Eagles aren't supposed to hear
but
that?
But that's my point. Now, obviously, anybody on the field playing can hear
all that.
They
have those Whisper 2000 things pointed right at Brady.
What I'm wondering is, where's the advantage?
Brady probably figures, I don't care if you know it or not.
I think it's
us.
An advantage moving forward that Bill's worried about. And he's
Possibly.
Worried about,
Possibly.
Are they literally raising the level of the parabolic
well,
when Brady's
wrong.
Out
if they're
there?
Doing that, right.
I find that hard to believe right. that they're doing that.
If the network,
or this is a great pissing contest between NBC and Bill.
If the network is doing that, then that's flat out wrong. And what
but
was
funny.
There was a game earlier in the year. Was it the San Diego game? The other game that was on NBC? Because there was a game earlier that our fans were complaining about that all the time the Patriots had the ball, they were up close on Brady's signals. Remember?
I think it was San Diego because it was.
So maybe it is an NBC thing.
But again, that was
there
a
must
home
have been
game,
cheering
so,
in that game.
You know,
a little bit right when the Chargers were on.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would affect
that. That was a loud one.
I mean, those parabolics are going to pick up if there's an increase in crowd noise. That's going to seep in and cover up
right.
whatever
that was,
rivers.
That was the whole Bill the cheater thing.
Right.
Yeah, that was
so,
that was very
but
loud.
But, I mean, let's face it. When the Colts are at home and Peyton's doing his thing, you can hear everything he says, too. So,
right.
I don't know.
He says, Marvin, you're hot.
But the thing is, what Andy's saying. And
hope
like,
Jeff Garcia doesn't have those signals.
If they're turning it up just when Brady,
right.
that's
well,
the
that's
problem.
That's
an issue.
That's an issue.
I really find it hard to believe they're doing that.
Aaron from Middletown, New York. Any chance that the reason Maroney did not play in the first half is because being low on running backs, Belichick thinks if he can win without playing Maroney, he should try. After all, they're going to need him sooner or later. When they're in a close game at the half, they put him in to avoid losing.
That's a bold assumption that Lawrence Maroney can just flick the switch and become a running back.
I don't think there's any chance of that.
Belichick. I asked Andy this during the game because Andy played a little bit of running back.
Very little.
I said, but I just wanted to get your perspective. As a running back, isn't it kind of hard to have no carries and just come in the game? You always see good running backs get better.
And they always talk about it. Yeah. I love the 20 to 30 carries because I get a feel for the game. I can take it to the defense. I'm pounding them. I don't think you can just say, oh, it's January. We need to flip on the Lawrence Maroney switch.
I think that
especially him. He's never done it. He's not this veteran that we're trying to ease. Yeah, if it was like LaDainian Tomlinson and you're easing his carries and you want to have him as fresh as be in January, he's done it. He's been great for you. Lawrence Maroney's done nothing.
But to take it a step further, I think Bill might look at a guy who's iffy in terms of health or whatever and say, you know what, if I could get by this week without him, maybe I'll try to lighten his load a little bit. But I don't think he goes into a game and saying, we don't have that many running backs. I'm not going to run him this week because I don't need him. I don't think Bill looks at games like
that. They don't have any different number of running backs than they've had since Morris was gone. So, Falk was the guy who was supposedly dinged up, and he was out there. So if you're managing it, you'd sign a running back if you're that worried about it.
For whatever reason, he thought that was the best game plan. And, he probably never going to tell us.
Anthony asks, is it an arrogance that we can beat teams any way we want and the other team will have to bend to our will, which led to the Pats to play the game they played? I don't think so.
Whatever you think's the best way to win.
I think that he does that all the time. He's a game plan coach.
And I said during the game, basically to me, they're running the run and shoot with Watson. They just have Watson in there. They're throwing. All you hear when I go in the opposing locker room is dig routes. They throw dig. That's what the run and shoot did. They threw dig routes and then threw it over the top. And I'm not saying it's the same thing, philosophical wise as the run and shoot. But you're going 4-5 wide. You don't have a running back, and you just boom, 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 boom down the field with the pass. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how some of these defenses start playing that, because it's different when you decide not to run the ball. But if you have no threat of the running game, and I said to you during the game, Fred, doesn't that make it easier to play the team? Yep. Like, even if Brady does it, the difference is
the
Brady.
One-dimensional
Brady
thing.
Is just an unbelievable quarterback, one of the greatest of all time, and he's making the difference here. But you would think if you only had to take away one thing, the better teams when you play them in the playoffs would have an easier time against you.
Let's see. John from Manchester. It was a tough game to watch. The Maroney touchdown was not that impressive to me. As I saw the replay and watched him get stopped at the goal line and then, not sure if it was Logan Mankins, shoved him into the end zone.
It was a good run.
Like every other Pats fan, I wish I knew what the deal was with Maroney.
And I see that on every goal line run. Offensive lineman pushing one way, defensive lineman pushing the other.
We saw it in college with Reggie Bush. We thought he was good. He stunk.
The odd thing to me was watching the defense. They were great at stopping any yards after the catch, but the catches were way too many. Was that the plan?
Whose defense was great with stopping the yards after the catch?
He thought that the Patriots were.
Wow.
I think that's what he's saying.
They had a lot of tackles.
I thought they, well.
Everyone's just speechless.
I think the problem here is
I don't think the secondary played well at anything they
did. I think
did.
The problem is Ellis Hobbs starts playing prevent in the first quarter. Right. He's 20 yards off receivers.
I think the only catches that didn't have yards after the catch were the ones with the Eagles receivers ended up on the ground. And there were a lot of those. L.J. Smith had a couple over the middle he just fell down after he caught the ball. I thought that there was one play that we saw that Baker came up and took a terrible angle and was wailing away, flailing away. I thought the Eagles did virtually anything they wanted on in the passing
game. Not Rashad Baker's fault, though, in my mind.
He's on the
field. Because I put him, he shouldn't be out there. Special teamer.
Matt from Waseca says it was a close call Sunday night, but in the end, A.J. Feely was A.J. Feely. I'd like to address the notion that the Eagles created a blueprint for defeating the Patriots. I agree. The blueprint for beating the Patriots goes something like this. 1, run inside routes in the defense. This will surely be fixed by Bill in the short time. 2, have the Patriots throw the ball all but once in the first half. I don't know what Bill was doing because Maroney looked fine. He proved the age-old rule that you have to have a balanced attack. 3, cause a crucial offensive pass interference call on Moss. This was a turning point in the game that I believe was not even close to pass interference, just getting back for the times he did it and they didn't call it. And 4, have the Patriots play their worst game yet, I don't think it will happen again because now Bill has something to ride them about. Anyway, I was a little concerned during this game because it would have been worse to lose this game than if we lost to the Colts. I just kept telling myself there's no way they're going to lose. I'm sure we'll be talking about it, but what do you think Bill was thinking not running the ball in the first half? He should know more than anyone that you have to have a balanced attack. Was he just proving a point, or do you think he was arrogant and wanted to prove that he could win a ball game passing the entire time?
Well, first of all, the point with Moss, NBC didn't give you guys a good replay. It was easy. Fred, that was pass interference. The entire press box said pushing off at the exact same time.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
Oh. But anyway, I was telling Paul, in the Super Bowl against the Steelers, Michael Irvin caught a touchdown pass early, and they called him for a bad push-off. I mean, and we all know what Irvin did in his career. But here's the thing. When you do stuff like that, sometimes you're going to get it, and sometimes you're not. And when you get called, sometimes it's not going to be as bad as ones you did before because they're looking for it.
Go back and say, I'll trade that other one that you didn't call for this one. Let me just keep this one.
Felger made a great point about NBC's replay. They never really showed you a great view of it, but when it happened live, there wasn't one person that didn't think that was offensive pass interference, including Fred, despite what he says on the radio.
And I also thought
but
the
after
Patriots,
I saw it, I don't think he did.
But I also think that the Patriots...
Well, first of all, referees don't get replays. So you admit, live, it was pass interference. That's all that matters.
Well, yeah, but... Compared to the ones that they haven't called on them, I don't know.
Not compared to anything. But that official right there is just looking at the play and says, did I see pass interference?
The new rule that's been adopted this week.
There's no new rule.
They can do whatever they want.
Fred, you just said live, you thought it was pass interference, and that's all that matters.
Didn't you think there was a play that was pass interference against Moss that they didn't call when he grabbed his shirt?
He was assaulted.
That was a bad call.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the new rule.
I didn't need a replay for that.
No, but you're allowed to do whatever you want to Randy Moss now. Oh, that's
the
new rule.
Why is that?
Because that's the league wants it to happen.
And when I was telling you upstairs, that's what he does.
You're allowed to mug Randy Moss and no call.
I also wanted to dispute. I think the Patriots played a good game Sunday night. I don't think they played the worst game that they played all year. I don't think that's even close to being the truth.
I agree with Paul. They
played
well.
The secondary played, I thought, its worst game.
The secondary,
they stunk.
No question.
Well, maybe they are what they are.
But I think Brady was outstanding in that game. I think that Wes Welker was outstanding in that game. I think Jabbar Gaffney was outstanding in that game. Samuel made huge plays, to bail him out. Look, I think that Philadelphia deserves some credit for being competitive. I don't think this was about the Patriots coming out flat and playing a bad game.
I don't either. Dave in Abington also says, first of all, I'm not Bill Walshing, nor am I a fair weather fan, but the Patriots are seventh in the NFL when it comes to rushing. They do what the defense gives them.
Yeah, a lot of that thanks to Sammy Morris and the time he was in the game.
But Philip,
listen. Let's use our eyes. Come on, let's stop throwing numbers around. Please, let's use our eyes. If Lawrence Maroney was on the Colts doing what he's doing, I can't tell you how many threads on message boards would be slamming Lawrence Maroney. The bottom line is he hasn't done what we thought he would when the Patriots drafted him, whether it's because he's injured or whatever. And here's my main point. I think the team is on my side on this. I'm not so sure the team loves Lawrence. And I'm not talking about his teammates. I'm talking about the coaching staff and those people. And if they draft Darren McFadden, all you emailers better go find another place to go, because it's going to be the same things as the receivers. Use your eyes. You tried to tell us last year that the receivers were fine. Use your eyes. You know darn well those receivers weren't fine.
Do you
guys
think there's an element of a misleading element to the Patriots' rushing totals this year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're seventh in the league, according to that emailer.
I don't think they can run the ball at all, to
but
be
don't,
honest
don't
with
you
it.
Think that the,
I think
the
they
vast
could.
Majority
they just
of,
haven't done it.
But don't you think the vast majority of their rushing yards have come when games have been long since decided?
No.
I don't. I think you
well,
take
well, yeah,
I
but
think
a lot of these since most games
have been decided
right,
in the first
but
half.
I think
so you're
take,
wrong. For,
right,
in other words,
well,
you
th- yeah,
I think you take away Heath Evans and Kyle Echols 90 yards against Buffalo when it was 56-10, and you take away Sammy Morris's 60 yards in the second half of Cleveland when it was 34-10. I don't think they're seventh in the league in in rushing.
They're not the seventh best rushing team.
They've
I
had,
know that.
In my opinion, they've had very few games where they've come out and been balanced on offense.
I just don't
very
think,
few.
Yeah, but
now the stats will tell you they've run the ball almost as much as they've thrown it. But I don't think they've been very balanced on offense. I think they throw, and then they run to Yeah, at the end of the game.
I agree. I mean, your eye test says they're not a rushing team.
That's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong.
And Lawrence Maroney isn't having a good year. That's all you need to say.
But I certainly don't have any arguments with their offensive approach. They've been dominant.
I don't have any problems.
Dominant. I don't care how they score the point. They're scoring them.
My only problem is when you're throwing the way they're throwing at a record-setting pace, no team's ever done this, when you hand the ball off to Lawrence Maroney, he should have a lot of space to work with. He should be breaking off big runs, and he's not doing it. That's a fact.
And I don't think that they're running the ball anywhere near as effectively as those stats will tell you that they are.
I just don't think they go into the game with that plan, and I don't think we've been able to see if they can do it.
Well, they don't. I mean, McDaniels admitted last week,
we're
going to throw if at all possible.
They don't do it. So it's not.
But you're taking this as a criticism, Fred. I'm not meaning it as a criticism. I'm just saying they throw the ball.
Right.
They're throwing the ball at a level about eight times higher than has ever been done before. Why should they do anything
different? The criticism is, why do you not just have a running back to pretend you might run?
You're right.
That's a safety thing with Brady and try to keep the defense a little bit on their toes.
Don't you guys think, let's use Adai because he was drafted in the same draft class, so we'll keep it like that. If they had Joseph Adai and he was the same player that he is in Indianapolis, don't you think they'd run the ball a little more? I mean, if you had a guy who you thought was a very good running back, do you honestly think they would never give him any carries? Because they gave Sammy Morris 20 carries, two games in a row, 21 carries.
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, all I know is that they say they think that Maroney's a good running back, but
we'll see. They say it a lot.
You know, between injuries and game plan, he's just not getting the opportunity. They told me
Rashay Caldwell was doing fine last year. Where's he?
No.
And that it's whoever's open. And then they throw Moss.
This week it was Welker. You know, I mean,
I think on some parts he was the one.
Ben Watson? He hadn't been open in a month.
No, but in Indy,
it was crunch time, game time, and all of a sudden your offense became Moss.
But I do think there's an element of that when they get in tight spots, Brady finds a guy. And this week it was Welker because he didn't have Moss for the first three quarters, so he said, I'm going to go with Wes. Now, yeah. I think he threw to one that last drive eight times, and five of them were complete. That's good. I mean, it worked. But I do think there's an element of that when he kind of gets under the gun. I think that there's a little bit less of that spreading. You know, the open guy is the intended receiver. I think there's a little bit less of that.
Let's see. TG and NJ says here's a short list of subjects. Asante, pay him. Yep. Omaha means opposite.
Nope.
You could hear everything Brady was saying at the line. Boomer spoke about it with the Big Show guys. I'm just scratching my head. You can't steal defensive signals that everyone can see, but we can expose what your quarterback is calling at the line of scrimmage on national TV. Sorry, guys, I understand it, but I'm having a difficult time adhering to the nice little player argument. Here. What do we think of the defense after this game? Why wasn't I worried when Rosie came out?
Because he hasn't made a play all year.
I hitch my wagon to him.
I like this James Sanders guy. For Mr. Clutch to see Steven Guskowski, kickers still suck. Is watching the Life Aquatic while eating a bowl of Captain Crunch, a dry bowl of Captain Crunch, a form of torture?
Yes.
And does the U.S. government use this method? And finally, let's all show some love for my boy number 10. Why does he love those close to the edge, back of the end zone TDs so much? And he says he got his old man a subscription to our rag. He's hooked on it. Can't wait for this week's edition. Keep up the great work.
He'll be there in about 3 weeks.
And that nice little player will be on the cover.
That's right.
McGaffney did have a good game, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
He made a lot of... I mean,
he's a nice little player, too.
I was
going to
say.
As long as he's working with Randy Moss.
I have to say, that nice little player is going all the way to Hawaii, because with 81 catches right now...
81, I think, right now.
You're going to the Pro Bowl.
Dan,
is Trinzada going to the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think
he's going.
Well, who's going? I think you're looking at Braylon Edwards, Hushmanzada, Moss, and Welker right now.
Yeah. Okay. How many do they take? Just four?
I don't think Welker's going to go.
Okay. Well, I mean, if the guy has 120 receptions,
next year,
leave him home?
He might go
next
year.
He's not going to have 120 receptions next year.
Certainly not if Randy Moss leaves.
And they draft Darren McFadden.
I don't think he's going to go this year. I really don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he's going.
Dan in Charlottesville, Virginia. I was wondering what the tone was in the locker room.
Is everybody in Virginia today?
We have a lot of Virginia.
We do. What's the tone in the locker room was after the game Sunday night? Normally when a team clinches their division, the locker room, at least from what I understand, watching footage on TV, is jubilant.
Normally they don't do it.
Was that the case Sunday night? It would seem that the Pats would have been somewhat disappointed with the performance as a whole, and when Wes Welker was summoned into the locker room right in the middle of his postgame interview with Andrea Kramer, it looked as though Belichick had something urgent to say to the team. So what did you guys hear or see after the game? has their success so far this season and their general assumption of being the division champs from the start of the season lessened the feeling of accomplishment from technically winning the division?
Well, they talked to – I mean, I wasn't here, but just reading the transcript yesterday, it sounded like that was another testy part of the press conference when they were talking about clinching the division, and Bill kind of was giving some short answers, and the reporter was going back at him. So Bill's not in a good mood. This isn't a good week to ask Bill questions.
But well, the Red Sox, they'd still be out in the field drinking champagne.
Well, I thought there was a – you know, I don't think it was like that. But, I mean, they called it the hat and T-shirt,
hat and t-shirt game.
That was,
yeah, that's
you know,
what they do.
That's what they do. I think they – I didn't get the sense that they were down on themselves for a performance.
No, I thought they were defending the fact that, we won a game.
Okay. I didn't.
Of course, I talked to mostly defensive backs, since that's what I was writing, and they had a reason to be down.
That's true, too. See, and I talked to Welker, who had a huge game, you know. So maybe it's
life's good, man.
Maybe it all depended on who you talk to.
If you look at the normal spokesmen, Harrison, Brusky.
Brusky was
very
upbeat.
They were out saying, we expected this. You're the guys that don't expect it.
Turning it around on the media.
Yeah.
Well, it's the media's fault for thinking the Patriots would win.
No, and the quarterback didn't say we're trying to kill teams or anything. We made that one up, too, you know.
Well, they're trying to kill teams, but they don't expect
We want to kill teams.
We want to.
We want to kill teams.
Right.
Okay.
But in this league, that's hard to do.
No, but
he said he wants to do it.
But my point is they're trying.
So every guy does.
But the point,
that's
Fred,
normal.
Is they're trying to now say this was the media's fault for thinking they were going to. Well, you know, you did it like five times in a row.
They didn't say it was the media's fault, but they're saying.
No, you guys are the ones that think we're going to kill
they're
teams.
They're saying they're not surprised that the Eagles played them tough. That's all they're saying.
Okay. You think that's all they're saying. I think they're castigating the media. That's all.
No,
I'm going to pull a Tom here. I don't know what castigating means.
If you're not surprised that somebody did something, and the guy that's questioning you is, you say, "Well, I'm not." You're the one that's surprised.
Who said anybody? Who was asking any questions about being surprised?
Well, the tone of the questioning was, you know, it was a tough game. It
now
wasn't
you
supposed
know
to be a tough
tone.
Game. You know,
I just thought that they were pretty excited about the win. I think they were. The post game message was, "How do we feel about hat and T-shirt games? Stuff like that." I agree with Andy, though, because the guys that his analysis was about the secondary, and I'm sure besides Asante Samuel, there weren't too many happy secondary members in that game.
But I think overall the team was happy to have a win. It's the guys, the media, that was wondering if they come in and be down because it was a close game or they didn't play up to their level or whatever. You know?
I didn't hear much media asking
about being down.
I heard a lot of questions like that. Is it good to get one of these, to prove your medal, to get in a dogfight, come out
and
on
Teddy
top,
Bruschi
those kinds of
yes.
questions. Right.
John at Palm Bay's on the phone. How you doing, John?
Hey, good. How are the guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, John.
Hey, I just had a quick question. I know it's kind of soon to speculate on this, but if Chad Johnson gets cut next year and we don't happen to go after Randy Marsh, you think the Patriots might be interested in Chad Johnson at
all? I think they would definitely be interested in him.
Chad Johnson's not getting cut.
Yeah, why would he get cut?
Well, I just think he might be in doghouse Marvin Lewis.
No, he's
well. First of all,
Marvin Lewis might be out.
He's not going to be around either. So who knows?
Yeah. Listen,
I think Bill would be interested.
Yes, if Chad Johnson is available in any way,
I think Bill would be interested.
Bill would be very interested. My guess is a new coach is going to come in. Johnson's going to be rejuvenated there. They're not getting rid of that guy. So that's my opinion on it.
I would kind of agree with Tom there.
Plus, I thought everybody loved him in Cincy.
They do. He's
talking about running the table and going 9-7.
I think Chad Johnson is kind of down in Cincinnati because he expected more.
Right.
But I think once a new coach comes in and he sees, well, hey, we got some talent here, I think it'd be all right.
All right, John?
All right, thanks.
Okay, John.
We're big Chad Johnson fans.
See in his car.
Dan from Charlottesville also says one quick thing. Am I correct in thinking that because of Asante Samuel's status as a franchise player, he is unable to negotiate a long-term contract during the season? Either way, will you guys please utilize your immense influence on the organization in an effort to reward this guy with a long extension? There are very few players in this league or currently in college that can do what Samuel does so consistently.
I thought he was greedy.
Yeah, now they want him. They've seen the rest of the secondary play.
No, you also left out that he was a one-year wonder.
Yeah, right. We all said, I think, at the end of last season, he's playing as good a corner as anybody in the league. And he does something, Paul, I said this to you, that you just can't teach. He looks back and he finds the ball in the air. I don't care who you are, what kind of corner you are. You either have that or you don't. I don't care how many times Bill puts you on the field and tries to teach you that. You either can look. I mean, Dion was as good as anybody. He was kind of like Moss. When Moss puts his hands out just as the ball's coming up, Dion had that knack for right when the ball was there, going up and getting it. And I think Samuel has that. He he very rarely gets beat deep.
He almost had another touchdown.
He has great instincts. Yep. And
he's had a few of those.
If you lose Asante Samuel, you're not going to get anybody to replace him, because right now the only guy you can get to do that would probably be Champ Bailey.
Bob in Shenzhen, China. Three things. One, without Asante Samuel, Eagles 28, Patriots 24. Two, there is not a better quarterback in football than Tom Brady, period. End of argument. Three, next five games are going to be a dogfight. There might be some blowouts, but there will be some hard hitting against the Pats.
I'm going to say there's going to be four blowouts.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's the dogfights?
I'll give
the Steelers.
One, you know, five games, I'll give one. One of them will be a very competitive game. Yeah. The other four are going to be blowouts.
And I'll tell you what, if the Giants show up 10% of what they did on Sunday, they won't last a quarter, because that was an embarrassment.
Plus, I don't think unless they really go in the tank like Eric thinks they're going to, I don't think that those guys will be playing. I think they have a chance. We talked about this last week. Where are they going? They're going to be the number five seed.
I got a feeling they might be going in the tank.
Well,
like
then
Eric
they're out of it.
After what I saw.
Then if that happens, then they're out of
right.
it. And then it's irrelevant altogether.
I agree.
But if they're a playoff team, they're going to be locked into a wild card because they can't catch Dallas. So they're going to be locked into a five or six seed, they'll be playing the following week. They won't be playing.
Justin in Alaska, good win. No one thought, at least I didn't, that every game, even against lower-end teams, would be a wipeout. Glad to see that when, not if, a team takes Moss away, we can still pull it out. Couple concerns and wonders, and wonder if you shared them. Brady seems to be eyeing Moss a lot. Meaning, from my view, it seems he's looking for Moss visually and figuratively all the time. Is there a potential of him overdoing that and becoming locked into Moss or nothing mentality when we are behind or in a close game? Or do you guys not see this? Yes, I know Welker led in receptions, but this has been a couple times in games where he's eyeing Moss a lot.
I'd be eyeing Moss a lot, too.
I think that's accurate.
There.
Well, you look at him first. You know?
I think that's accurate. I think he does eye Moss a lot, but I have no problem with it.
That never had a number one receiver has a number one receiver, right. and that's what a number one receiver is. You look at him first. He's the guy that gives you the best chance to win games, make plays, score points, all that stuff.
Unless someone comes out and proves that they can do what Philadelphia did on a regular basis, I see no reason why.
And have Lito Shepard and Brian Dawkins and a good save. Reed,
Lito
the other
Shepard
guy.
Played a terrific game.
He did.
He's
very
a good,
good
corner. He's a Pro Bowl corner.
I know he is. I know.
Now that the weather will start to get cold, what you guys call cold, will Maroney's lack of production come back to bite us, or do we think that between his 3 yards and Ekel Evans' 50 yards a game will be okay?
I think he'll be fine as long as Brady and Moss are okay.
And as Felger pointed out, it's like two night games in a row, and it's been like 60 degrees. It's amazing. It's not even cold.
Beelzebub
yet,
getting
so.
It done.
It was a beautiful night. Beautiful night Sunday.
As
night.
Long as Brady is alive, I don't think it's going to matter.
Did A.J. Feely light up our secondary, or are we really that weak back there? Aside from Asante, we look pretty bad. Harrison can't cover anymore. I'm losing faith in Ellis, but Sanders did okay, I guess. Agree?
Yes.
Why are we seeing Rashad Baker and Eddie Jackson out there,
no
not
idea.
Merriweather?
Because every week when I say, who could go off the roster to put someone on it, and I say Rashad Baker, Bill moves him a step up the depth chart. It's the only risk. I have no idea. I don't know what's going on in the secondary with some of the guys. That
he's a former running back in high school. Maybe he'll be taking carries.
His nickname is the touchdown maker. He plays safety. You do the math.
On the phone right now is Bertone. Bertone, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
What's up?
I got a comment and a question, a hypothetical question. My comment is, man, I'll be very, very heartbroken if we don't get Asante for the next, I don't know, 6 years on this team.
I agree.
It'll really hurt.
I agree, but at this point, he's going to go to the open market and see what's out there. He should.
He's going
to
make a lot of money.
Yeah, I think he should. I think we should break the bank on him.
I agree.
I'm going to have set him up with a phone call with Mike Lowell.
That'll work.
Yeah, that'll work. They're very similar.
I have something
similar.
To talk about that.
His phone call is going to be to Alex Rodriguez.
Right. My hypothetical question is, what would happen if, let's say, every team won every home game and lost every away game, so everybody ends up with an 8-8 record in the NFL? What would happen? How would they sort this out for playoffs?
You'd get to a lot of tiebreakers.
Yeah,
you'd get down to
points.
Is
that physically possible? I suppose, right?
If every team wins,
goes 8-8.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go to the tiebreakers. It would be division points. Records and, you know, points in the division game, you know, conference records, division records.
Yeah, head-to-head within the division would be tied, obviously.
Right, you'd get down to points. Right. It would come down to points,
well, the
right?
conference and division records don't have to be the same.
No, but, they? Like, if you're tied with the Bills, head-to-head doesn't work.
Right, you went 3-3 in the division.
Right, right. But then it wouldn't go to conference?
Oh, then it would go to conference.
One team went 8-8.
Yeah, then it would go to conference.
Well, I suppose if you go
with... It would go like opponents.
If you're going with what he's saying...
You have two at home, two on the road. Yeah, right. It would all be the same, so we get down to points.
It would go down to points.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or common opponents. I don't know. One of those. One of those 7th.
But those probably would be tied, too, so I think you'd end up at points. And Bill would be right. He'd score more points than everybody, and he'd be in the playoffs.
There you go.
All right, guys. That's all I got. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, see ya.
Love his voice.
Artrell Hawkins, living in wherever he is in Florida now.
You know, I brought up Mike Lowe. I was listening to an interview with him. I think it was yesterday or the
Holy
day before.
Crap.
He was on with Dale and Holly.
You have an unbelievable male crush on Mike
No,
Lowe.
But listen to this.
Have you ordered a jersey autographed or anything yet?
No.
That's what you do if you like a guy.
So
I just got my Bo jersey.
He's being interviewed by Dale and Holly, and obviously he's just signed the big contract. He stayed here. MVP of the World Series. He's a great guy. Does a lot. There's nothing but good about this guy. So obviously the tone of the interview was, you know, good, good, good. So the interview's over, and one of the weasels in the back room, you know, the producer, I don't know who it was, the flash boy goes, well, now that you guys are done with your love fest with Mike Lowe, well, what are they supposed to be doing? You know, that's the kind of negativity that drives fans crazy
that's
in this
John
market.
Wallach.
You know, what were they supposed to do?
It's just a joke, friend.
No, but you know, it's just like you
that
can't
pisses
you
me
can't
off.
Have a positive interview with a guy and without someone accusing you of ball washing.
Or I bill mean, washing.
That really bothers
it's
me.
It's just
that
ridiculous.
Some ass but
and I'll say it.
But that's what I think fans get angry at is that, you know, what's wrong with that? If the guy is like a Mike Lowell, what's wrong with gushing about
So Mike Lowell is now the top, right? The picture-perfect athlete, guy to root for, perfect
well,
man.
What is there negative about?
No, I'm just saying, in your eyes, he is like Jesus.
If you were having an interview with him, what would the tone of the
interview
be? It
would all be positive.
Exactly.
Until I got to his defense, going down the tubes.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I agree with you. There's nothing negative there.
But
I don't know.
Why
do
they have to say that? Why do they
just
have to
say
it's a joke?
But it's getting tired.
Plus, I didn't
you
hear it.
You wouldn't have cared if it was anybody else.
It's half honest. You know what?
But I didn't hear the interview, so I don't know what they were saying. There's a way to do an interview that, even though there shouldn't be anything negative in it, it's over the top. And Mike, you're just a great guy. And
the way Fred
would
do it.
You know, you sacrificed $20 million to stay. I mean, there's a way to gush over a guy that's not.
Well,
not appropriate.
I just,
even though there shouldn't be any negative questions, I agree with you.
I just thought
Andy
it was,
would ask about his defense. I think that's ridiculous.
Oh, is there Mike Lowell? He's mad. Somebody gave Mike Lowell a Bill Walshing on the radio, and then somebody goes, "Geez, get off of whatever."
John Wallach said, "If you guys are done with the Mike Lowell love fest, or something."
Fred's
like
worked up because it wasn't perfect treatment of Mike Lowell.
No, that's
it's Mike Lowell. It's
that,
Mike Lowell.
Instead
that's
of
all.
Talking about that, Bozo, shouldn't we talk about Sean Taylor?
Fred doesn't want to. I brought that up an hour ago, and he skimmed right past
it.
So.
It's just, you know, how do you just all of a sudden steer into somebody just dying?
No, I just, and we don't really know anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's, to me, it's just sad. And listen, I'm not an African-American. I grew up on the mean streets of Johnstown, New York. You know, I don't know how it works. But for some of these guys, they just can't cut ties with the past because obviously there's something going on here.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
We don't know what it is, but it's something. And he's been in trouble before. And these guys are so darn talented and making so much money. You got to turn your backs on those people that are going to bring
well,
you down.
Well, maybe that's why he got
yeah, –
maybe that he
right.
tried to do
but
that and they wouldn't
that's
let
part
him.
Of the problem.
That could be.
Yeah.
We've
that
heard about
be.
That like in gangs that they'll let the athlete go, but you sort of owe them a
– Yeah, you got to kick back.
Something, something.
Right.
But it's, and I'm not saying this because he's now deceased, but he was a hell of a player. I mean, that, he was –
He was having
a
great
shame.
Year, too.
He was
that Landry
he
was, allowed him to do some things. He was having a great year.
He was
year.
The guy that I thought Roy Williams was going to be. I mean, just a phenomenal football player. And it's too bad that he had to get whatever happened, you know, caught up
well,
with.
How old was he? 24,
I believe.
It's ridiculous. It's just, you know.
Yep.
It's a tough year in Washington. I mean, Sean Springs is having problems with his, you know, with his dad. And just they're having a tough
yep.
year down there.
And they're losing all kinds. I mean, not that it pales in comparison.
Right,
but
they're
losing in all kinds
in any
of
way you can lose
crippling
and,
ways.
Yeah.
Let's see. So. That's Sean Taylor. So
well, I just thought we should address
no,
that. We do cover
you're right.
NFL
I mean, we do need to address it. It's
and there's players on this team that played with him.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Brandon Merriweather called him his mentor. Kareem Brown, Vince Wilfork, they all have ties to Miami, obviously, and to Taylor. So, it you know, there is a local tie-in.
I didn't hear it, but I was told that Vince Wilfork was interviewed yesterday, and they were talking about, you know, obviously Sean Taylor, but also about the class of players that came out of Miami at that time. And I don't know who said it because I didn't hear it, but somebody said to Wilfork, well, your class and the group of guys that you ran with were known as real bad guys. And I guess Wilfork was speechless. He was like...
Was this on the Fox Friendly Scoop or
no,
whatever
he does?
No,
I thought it was on Patriots Monday.
Oh.
But he was just like taken aback by the perception.
I don't think he's
was
on
that,
Patriots.
Do you remember that? Okay, well, that's what I was told. I didn't hear it either. That's what I was told. But he was basically, he was shaken by that perception. He, you know, I don't know.
I didn't
that
hear
they, yeah, I mean, I would be too if you're accusing. I mean, there's a difference between the old Miami that was on the field, they were cocky, and being accused of, like, gun-toting criminals and involved with right. That kind of stuff. There's two different bad guys.
So, anyway, we'll obviously be hearing more of that as facts come out, but it's just a shame. Getting back to the emails, PJ says, what a great game for the Eagles and Patriots. The Pats kept the streak towards history going, and the Birds garnered some national respect. I want an apology from Tom and Andy, who kept saying that the Eagles stink, especially Andy, who said they may not win another game, although you still may be right.
I don't believe I ever said that.
So you can
clear
put me
that
in
up.
That category because I think the Eagles stink.
I don't think I ever said they stink.
Played a great game.
And I'm damn sure I never said they're not going to win another game.
No, by the way,
I didn't say that.
By the way, they're favored
Sounds
over
like
Seattle
Tom.
This week. Anyway, I'm a little bit afraid that the Eagles gave the rest of the league a blueprint to beat the Pats. I can see this going one of two ways. One, the rest of the league figures out how to at least hang with the Pats and maybe have a chance to win. Or two, this game wakes the Pats up from their cruise control and they go on to blow everyone else out. I obviously hope for the latter.
What was the score the week before?
A quick question for you guys about the Eagles that has been on every sports radio station in town, AJ or Donovan?
AJ.
AJ?
For now.
But you know what they might do because the season's lost? They might let
lost. They're right in the middle of the playoffs.
Are they?
Yeah, they're 5-6 in the NFC. That's wild card. You win this week, you're 6-6.
You're
right back in it.
If you go 8-8 in the NFC, you're probably going to get that last wild card.
This is how I would look at it. Is there a huge difference right now on who gives you a chance to win, and do you think McNabb's going to be part of your future? If you think Feely and McNabb are kind of equal and you don't think McNabb's going to be around for a while, I think McNabb's had his chance to kind of – and he hasn't really gotten the job done. It's a close one because I think A.J. Feely stinks too.
I do too, but I think McNabb is not a part of the future. I think they made that evident when they drafted Kolb.
I don't want to take anything.
They weren't that good where they didn't need anything and we're just going to build a backup quarterback for the future.
Yeah, I think whether McNabb comes back or not, I think they're probably not going to be in that race. I agree with Tom. Right now they are. I think they got together Sunday night. They put a lot of stock in this game.
Yeah.
And they came out with a lot of emotion and they had a great game plan. They played well and they lost. I think it's going to affect them going forward. I don't think they'll be a part of the – I don't think they're that good. I think they played very well, but I think they played over their heads.
Well, when you don't do it every week, you're not that good. If you can do it one week, but that doesn't make you a great football
player. They have a losing record. It's not, and they play in the NFC.
Yeah.
And the team ahead of them has lost one game, the Cowboys. So,
and even if you say that they have potential, well, there's nothing worse than a team that doesn't play up to their potential.
But
that,
the question here was the quarterback. Maybe he's a positive for this team right now, and can they win?
That's
what are
the
they 5-6?
Thing.
Can they win four games in a row?
Except
happened last year.
You know
they were 5-6 last year.
So that's
the guy came in and ran the table.
That's why it's a question because you're wondering
that's
can they make a run with this guy?
Right.
If you think if the team is rallied behind AJ Feely, I think you have to go with Feely and tell McNabb and his mother to go.
You're hurt, Donovan. You know.
Well, that's the thing they're going on now. It's his job if he's 100%.
But I'm not sure.
That's
and he's not a guy that's going to take the way this is playing out. He's not just going to say, "Oh, I'm the good soldier. I'm hurt." He'll be on his blog. His mom will be talking. Everybody will be. That'll blow up.
Well, I told you right after the
game.
Right after the game, Reed said, "I expect Donovan to play next week, and he will start." Like,
and now it's gone back from that.
Don't say that. Right? You just got off a tough loss. Why don't you take some time to think about that?
Right. On the phone is Chris from the Bronx. Chris, how you doing?
Good, Fred. How are you doing?
Good.
I just want to let you know, I listened to Patriots Monday, and I think what you're talking about was they actually told Vince Wilfork on the air what happened to Sean Taylor. I don't think he knew about it.
Okay.
And I think that's why he was speechless for a while. Because
I was getting some bad info.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were just, I thought you had misheard it or something.
Thanks for clearing that up, Chris, because no, that's nothing big, like that's what Fred was saying.
Yeah. Well, I was told that he was told about, you know, the bad guys at University of Miami and lumping him in with them.
He was shocked because a former teammate was shot.
That's what I
was. He didn't know.
Okay. So yeah. he was shaken about that. Did you hear that, Gary? Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
You're very welcome.
We thanks, needed Chris, that.
Oh, that's a big...
Thanks, Gary, for clearing that up if you heard it.
Gary didn't hear it. He said he didn't
no,
hear it
he
before.
No, he said he didn't hear him I talking that about that on EEI.
Fred said.
Yeah.
All right. Kevin from Singapore says, thanks for continuing to bring us fans outside of the USA valuable coverage of the Patriots. Could you consider these ideas, if not already suggested by others? One, have an internet messaging board like Skype or MSN or Yahoo or Google. Do you know what Skype is? So that fans can connect with you real time.
Can't they just send an email?
Well, you can do Ask PFW, too, right?
But real time, they can send an email and we'll answer it.
Right. During the show.
Right. That's real time.
We don't have time to connect
with
you.
Well, I'm not sitting on Instant Messenger 24 hours a day so I can interact with you people. I got a life, you know.
Have a 1-800 number.
I'm not Chris Ferreira.
Call in free. Have a Skype ID, and you basically have one and two covered.
I like the 1-800 number. We should get one. 1-800-PFW-TALK.
Have separate emails for PFW and Patriots Playbook.
Gary, can you call somebody and see if the phone number 1-800-PFW-TALK is available? I think the crafts would
why
be
why do we need separate emails for PFW and for Patriots Playbook?
I don't know.
So we don't get those bad ones meant for John.
Probably they want us to read their emails and not
and
John.
And unfortunately, he reads them later. I like the 1-800 number idea. Can we work on that, Fred? What does that cost?
TFW.
Didn't Tom, you tell me it cost something you know how to? What? Didn't you dabble in 800 numbers at one point?
I dabbled a little bit, yeah.
Didn't you know the price?
I didn't know the price. I forgot because it was a while ago when I was
running. And you don't really want to talk about it?
When I was running my own business. But it's not
what
that,
business was that?
It's not that expensive because I almost did it.
So, Fred,
I didn't have
let's
a
get
job.
An 800 number. I like it. Then anybody can call in from anywhere for free.
It does cost a lot of money. It does.
Can't cost that much. The Herald had an 800 number for just high schools.
And I just told you it didn't.
He looked into it when he was dabbling.
No, that's one of the reasons why radio stations make a big deal about it, because it costs a lot of money.
All right. Well, I don't care either way. So
I don't either. I just think it would be nice for our fans, and they could call an 800 number.
It would be nice.
Isn't it basically...
I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I'm just saying...
Or let's do a deal with Skype.
I know it's a little simplistic, but isn't it basically reversing the Chargers? So however often it gets used, you pay on the other end.
And a fee on top of that, but
yeah,
I don't know.
There's a fee you have to pay.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a per call and a fee?
Yeah.
I thought it was just a fee. I thought you bought a 1-800 number and paid a monthly fee. Okay, yeah, we don't want any per call.
We can
do
know
how big we are.
Per call is the small part.
No, we're huge. If we get an 800 number, you imagine the number of calls we'd be getting?
We could do something for people in car phones.
I think we should have our own webpage. Where we just do whatever, like I'll tell you what I did over the weekend.
Nothing.
Sat in my sweats on the couch.
Speaking of calling in, I remember a long time ago when people just first started having cellular phones. You know, they had those big things, and remember
first
Eddie
you called
Andelman,
them cellular.
Eddie Andelman used to be a talk show guy in this thing, and he used to go Carphone. Carphone is next, and I thought it was the guy's last name, Carphone.
Idiot.
Let's see. Doug wants to know, are Patriots fans spoiled?
I think so.
Yeah.
Doug is from Miami.
And they should be. They've had a great little run here. And this year they have Moss and Brady.
The only thing that stuns me is the constant complaining.
But
you mean
on this show?
No, just I'll go back to the Dallas game. When Paul turned to me and said on the third down, you have to have a stop here. And they called a terrible call on Patrick Watkins in the end zone on pass interference. I went to a Cowboys message board. Some people were complaining, and I just wrote, shut up. The Patriots won. They're the better team. Stop making excuses. I just don't understand. Even in wins, they have to complain, well, this. Just shut up and enjoy the ride.
I actually think
most of the people don't even enjoy the ride. They're too busy complaining. They're too busy bringing up every negative story that's ever been written about the Patriots. Have fun.
Yeah, but according to you guys, if you don't do that, then you're a homer. And that,
No, I'm saying it's okay to criticize certain things of your team.
Don't lose.
You know, if you didn't like the game plan, don't say, why are you questioning Belichick? Say, I think they should have ran the ball more. That's fine. That's being a fan.
Okay. But that's what this guy's saying. We're spoiled.
Well, I think there is an aspect of that. And I made the comment early in the game. It was 7-7. Really, the Patriots' first offensive possession came when it was 7-7.
And they threw two passes, one to Gaffney, I think, and one to Welker that combined for 13 yards in a first down. It might as well have been third and 10 after two incompletions. That's what it sounded like. There was not even a ripple of applause.
Now we're back to the bad crowd.
Yeah, and you admit, no, I'm talking about
this. Always been like that.
But
Paul,
I think they're spoiled. I think that they
overall
they're waiting for like,
crowd.
Oh, if Asante picks one off and runs it back, we'll stand up and cheer for that. But what, you just got a first down? Talk to me. You know, it's like Mercury and Mars. Talk to me when you get to the end zone.
Right.
Part of it's the in-game presentation. He's not there, so I can say it.
True.
Just terrible.
Terrible. You got some guy playing the electric guitar for the anthem.
Well, they booed
the
that Victoria's Secret model.
I mean, she wasn't hot.
They really did tour.
That's a flaw.
That's not why they booed
her. That's like
her.
Having a running back named Lawrence Maroney who can't run the ball. I mean, if you're a Victoria's model, I want to see boobs, I want to see hot, and she wasn't.
I think that same one was on How I Met Your Mother last night.
And she's on, she was. I saw the commercials. Yeah, she's not hot. And apparently she was really bad audio-wise. Like she was, Carol, our circulation manager, Carol Hardy, who watches the games from outside, said she couldn't speak. She was giggling. She kept messing up.
Well,
that's
why
she apparently she was getting booed, because she sucked.
It was annoying.
And in the fans' defense, in terms of getting excited, I mean, when you're rolling the way the Patriots are, I mean, there's got to be a little something that gets, a little starch that gets taken out. I don't think a lot of people showed up to that game wondering if the Patriots were going
to
win.
And to use your thing, they didn't show up to see Wes Welker or Jabbar Gaffney catch the ball. They show up to see Brady, Moss. They want big plays.
Don't put that in my mouth.
I think you're bred to be a fan. In Kansas City, my guess is if they were 13-0, that place would still be loud.
Well, it's rocking when they're 2-11.
Yeah, I think in general it's pretty quiet.
We're a negative, cynical region. That's just how we are. It is what it is.
Kansas City people, they just love being at the game.
It's like when they talk about St. Louis versus Boston in baseball, and they're both very passionate, but in different ways. The passion comes out in different ways. In Boston, it's, you're ruining my summer, the manager sucks, why didn't you bunt? In St. Louis, it's cheer the guy no matter what, always there, pat him on the back, kind of like a positive.
And I always say that when people say, how can you question Belichick? Why, you know, he's 1-3, you know. We question Francona all the time.
And just so you know, he's nipping at Belichick's heels a little bit here. He's got two.
TC and Agawam says, a couple weeks back when Maroney was asked about the possible return of Corey Dillon, he gushed that he'd love it. This couldn't have sat well with the members of the team, hence take off the diaper. I'm not getting that connection there.
Yeah, I don't think there is a connection there.
My guess is Maroney and Dillon have spoken exactly zero times since Dillon walked out of the locker room.
And that's an answer he thought he was saying the right thing.
Right.
Matt from Southie. I was surprised at how well Philly threw the ball. I didn't think that the Pats' D-line got good pressure on Philly. He stepped into the pocket on almost every play and did a good job finding receivers. Could it have been that Philly showed good poise, pocket presence, and just played a good game with nothing to lose, three interceptions notwithstanding, or do you guys think the D-line didn't play that well this week? P.S. Paul, you said Rosie whiffed on a couple plays. I think that's putting it mildly. He got schooled by Westbrook.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of school,
I thought Philly played well.
Anybody seen Richard Seymour since his return?
I didn't see any of the three guys this week. You know, I think the emailer makes a good point.
D-line didn't do much.
I don't think they had any pressure. I know there was one play I looked at Andy and go, oh, wow, Seymour is out there because he had one between Warren, Wilfork, and Seymour, I didn't really notice any of the three of them, with the exception of the series that Wilfork wasn't on the field the entire game. Didn't notice any of the three of them.
Just, Andy, we talked about this yesterday. Is Seymour still one of the five best linemen in football?
Not this year.
Not right now.
Not this year, that's for sure.
Do you think it's got something to do with the contract he signed, or do you think it's injuries? What's
I think no idea.
Slow start, whatever.
Yeah, I can't get inside his head. I don't know if he's fully healthy. I don't know if he's at full strength. I don't know if he's been lazy. I mean, only he knows what's going on there.
Let's see. Anthony says Belichick wouldn't decide to hold back Maroney to save him for later, as if he was going to do that. Why not do it with Brady with big leads they have had in the past? That's what I would assume would be the player to save, if any, though I don't think this has anything to do with saving Maroney for later games.
Well, let me ask you guys this, since he brought that up. We've always said that Brady doesn't have like a Favre kind of arm. Favre can throw it 50 times a game every week. We all know that. And we also see Brady when he wears that, whatever that is. What do you call it, Andy? The Predator? What do you call it?
I call it something?
You have some name for that thing he wears on his arm.
The shoulder thing?
Yeah, the shoulder, the harness thing.
I do never shut up. I don't even remember what I say.
Do you think...
You were probably laughing in the middle of it.
Do you think throwing the ball this much this season is going to affect him later in the year when it starts to his arm at all, because he doesn't have one of those cannon arms?
I think it depends on what he does in practice too, though, because that's where you throw even more balls than during the game. I mean,
you're right. He probably does. The load of him throwing during the week is probably curtailed, you know, for the game action. But, you know, who knows?
There's no question he has a long-term lingering tendonitis, something in his throwing arm that flares up at times that I think could be affected by throwing too much. But I agree with Paul. Based on what we saw in the training camp in the preseason, right. I'm guessing they manage that during the week in an effort to keep that from flaring up. Fred, what was that? I didn't catch that. What was that?
Hey, Cork Soaker, says Patrick. Longtime downloader. Just wanted to say thanks for keeping Pats fans near and far up to date with the inner workings of the team. Looking back at the Eagles game, I was wondering if you could give a letter grade to the following units. Okay, O-line.
Doesn't someone already do this?
Yeah, I'll go B.
B for the O-line?
Sure. I didn't think they were terrible.
B-minus?
Yeah.
I'll say B-minus.
Wide receivers?
I'll go B.
I'd give him better than
A minus.
I'd give him
B-plus.
There were some balls hitting the ground.
Running Welker, back. Gaffney, and Stallworth all played pretty well.
Randy Moss.
Running
Stallworth
backs.
Dropped a ball that hit him in the hand.
F.
Then tried to
F
pick it up
for the running backs.
Running back incomplete.
incomplete.
N-A.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see how many more weeks we keep using the incomplete on running backs.
Well, he doesn't play in the first half.
All right. Well,
they didn't use a running back in the first half.
I'm trying to give a grade to his performance on Sunday. He played 10 plays.
Defensive
line.
He
got three yards of carry on those 10 plays.
Defensive line.
F minus then. What do you want? I mean, what do you want? He didn't play.
He carried the ball 10 times. He got 30 yards.
And the game-winning touchdown.
All right. You keep making excuses. Like
I'm not making
Eugene
any
Wilson.
Excuses
he's
for him.
He's a hell of a player, Paul.
I'm not
First of all, we never
excuses
made excuses for Eugene Wilson.
And I'm the one that brought
no
him.
No one ever
I
made
I told you exactly
for
the
Wilson.
Story behind him about being lazy. If that's an excuse, I'd like to see
right.
what I say about guys that I don't like.
I just the guy got carries. He didn't do anything with them.
D-line.
F-minus.
F-minus.
C. Did nothing in either direction, so.
C-plus.
Secondary.
But Paul keep making excuses for Seymour,
F.
too.
I gave him an F. Is that an excuse, too?
Secondary's an F.
How about special teams?
D.
Special teams.
Gave up an onside kick and missed a 32-yard field goal. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, I would agree. Pretty low.
Not many big returns, either, against
the... Well, the Hops had the one, right? They got out
the
to the
Eagles
40.
The Eagles usually give up a lot of big returns. They did pretty well in that aspect.
Okay. Let's see. Andrew was a longtime Pats fan, addicted listener in Orange City,
yeah,
Florida.
That's true. We didn't grade the linebackers.
He didn't ask.
It's true.
Can't
argue with that.
This is a 12-question true-false.
Holy Moses.
Okay, you ready?
Sure.
One, take many gambles such as a wait a minute. Some say that the Philadelphia game provided a blueprint for the being blowed out.
That's Emmitt Smith
by the Patriots. So, if so, the important parts of the blueprint include. Now, here's where you say the true false. One,
I've been telling you this is going to be sarcastic.
Take many gambles, such as a surprise onside kick, and hope Lady Luck isn't sleeping with Tom Brady. True or false?
I think Paul's right. This is going to be all sarcastic, stupid.
So that, we're not going to play along.
We're going to go 12. A joke is not funny for 12 different ones. Okay,
but is that where it's going?
I'll tell you. You guys are in a real bad mood today.
Well,
what's the matter?
We're not happy we had a tough game on Sunday. We won 56-10.
Well, what is the matter? What's going on? Why are you guys in a bad
pretty
mind.
Good mood?
You're just real pissy.
Why can't we disagree without being in a bad
12
mood?
12 deep, but we're going on a bad joke?
All right.
Brian Morey's not here. I don't want to take Tom out and fight him like I would if Brian said the same thing to me.
By the way, did I hear that voice walk through this morning?
Yes.
Ooh, glad I ducked under the cue ball.
He's in. He's back.
All right, well, I'm sorry, Andrew. We're not going to play your game.
Well, why don't you read them and see if Andy and I are right and that they weren't really meant to be taken seriously.
No, that's okay. Dave,
let's pose a quick question,
Fred. I'm going to guess that we were right
then. That you asked the other day to our podcast downloaders, because that guy's said there's regular podcast. Do we have an explicit rating on iTunes yet?
What do you mean explicit rating? Oh, you mean...
Yeah, I want to know if we have that little red word explicit.
We don't.
What do we have to do to get there?
Want me to start talking more?
what word puts you over that? The F word?
You don't want that.
The C word? You said the other day in the car you did want that.
That'd be great for ratings.
Jesus.
I think it would be good. You said it was like an R movie. You don't go see PG-13. You go for the R movie.
It would be good for us and our most... loyal listeners, but it wouldn't be good when people
mainstream
are looking at it, especially people that pay your
check.
But
if we ever got on Sirius, could we start saying like the F word and stuff?
No.
Why not?
It's the same as here.
That's true. It is the same.
I mean, NFL on Sirius, they don't swear on that.
Oh, okay.
Once in a while, something slips
they
out.
Also,
but
don't entertain.
It's very rare.
Holy Moses, is that a dry show?
Oh.
And you want to talk about Bill Walshing interviews? That is the worst of the worst.
Well, that's
every
why,
guy they have
the
on
is the best.
Oh,
player.
Aaron Ross, right. You're the greatest corner in the history
that's
of the league.
I'm
can you tell us
make
how you redefined the position
you
over the first 6 weeks?
You could do a positive interview without embarrassing yourself. That you're fawning like Andrea Kramer.
Oh
you know,
my
as
God!
As Tom says, looking like he wanted to ask Brady to the dance. I mean, it was awful.
My guess is he'd say no.
Yes.
Not attractive.
No.
Ken is writing in, and he says, as far as Randy Moss being shut down, I think that's a myth. Think about this. My honest opinion, Randy dropped that long pass and had another phantom pass interference in the end zone.
Don't agree.
If you give him those two plays, he would have had close to 100 yards and a TD. Though while
and the
I
Eagles
think,
would have taken that, too.
Though while I think the Eagles did do a good job of pass coverage, Moss stopped himself more than the Eagles stopped him.
There's a guy who didn't watch the same game. It was obvious that the Eagles were being physical with Moss. They were hitting Moss, and he didn't like it. And that's nothing against him. Chad Johnson doesn't like it. T.O. doesn't like it. There's guys
I wouldn't
that
like
don't
it
like
if
it.
I was a skinny receiver. Like yeah. You don't want to get beat up.
Marvin
Harrison and Reggie Wayne, they always made fun of them when they were playing the Patriots. Oh, they catch the ball and they get down. Well, what do you want them to do? Try to take on linebackers and safeties
it's
and take
hits
every play?
Funny how the thinking around here has changed so much in the last year or so.
All these guys on the field should go down and not want to get hit.
Let me say this, too. We get asked PFWs every game, and the overwhelming majority of them are over-the-top positive, right? I mean, you guys all read them. We got two different emails this week after the game that – in different wording that wondered if we saw, quote, the Oakland version of Randy Moss tonight.
Oh.
Okay. Now
I that's ridiculous.
Okay.
Well, you think he was dogging it?
No. It was the
that's
guy.
That's the Oakland version of Randy Moss.
No, it's not. It's the guy who was a little reluctant to go over the middle and not take hits. That's what the guy, that's what we're talking
about.
Because
he didn't want to do it for that team. He didn't. He. Why should he play hard for that team? That's what he said.
But
they're not trying to win. Why should I do it? I heard him say that on Sirius Radio.
The comparison the fan was trying to make is, did he look a little reluctant to go over the middle and take hits Sunday night? Because to Andy, Tom, and I, it kind of did look like that.
And I think he's done that at times all year.
I think the one-handed catch in Indianapolis was specifically because he didn't want to get hit.
The more often he lines up on the outside and has to turn left to run a route, he doesn't really like it.
And look, the guy has been amazing. We've been over the top with our praise all year and how he's fit in the locker room. And I think we've all taken turns writing
about
it.
What are you smirking about over there?
Because he loves
to lie. Randy Moss is getting killed.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what the fans said.
No one is getting
That's
killed.
What the fans wrote in.
What was the,
I thought
what
it was
the zip code?
Fred, do you, Fred, do you think
it was
he likes
Andrew?
I'll tell you if he was a fan or not.
Fred, do you
could have been one of those phantom fans.
And there was only two guys that wrote it, too. I don't want to make it sound like there was 100. There was two.
Do you think Randy Moss enjoys going over the middle? Is he one of those receivers? Like, T.O. does it.
For the Patriots, he does. For Oakland, he didn't.
Keyshawn does it. Do you think he enjoys going over the middle?
Yeah, I think he enjoys playing football.
Okay, read the next email. I'm done with you.
Let's see. Before you,
see, that's why I don't get mad. You do the same thing to him. That's why I didn't get mad.
This is still Ken. He says, before you get all overwrought about the poor defensive effort, think about this. That defense was designed to stop or control Brian Westbrook, who was having an MVP-like season, averaging over 150 yards in total offense in a game. So the defense was designed to stop the run, which it did very well, and to get man-on-man coverage on him most of the time. To do that, the Pats made some concessions on the rest of their defense.
We've said
because of their concentration, they didn't have the linebackers deep in under coverage, and they often didn't have any safeties in position to help out on the in-cuts. Clearly, they didn't foresee A.J. Feely having a career night. He made a lot of very accurate throws, even when he was under a lot of pressure, and he fit a lot of balls into very tight places.
I don't know how tight the places were.
I mean, the first touchdown, I think was the first one anyway, was a pretty tight throw. I think those were few and far between.
I think they had a lot of open receivers. And,
I totally
see a guy unable
you.
To make a play, Randall Gay being there, he shouldn't be waiting for the safety to come break it up. He's covering a guy. That's his job. Make a play on the football. Ellis Hobbs, make a play on the football. Yes, we've admitted that their concession was the middle of the field, the intermediate routes. There's no question about that. But that doesn't mean you can't make a play when there's a time to make a play.
Right, and I totally agree with the notion that that's what they did. They wanted to take Westbrook away. But that doesn't mean that's okay if everything else hurt you.
Right.
They could have, I mean, let's face it, they could have lost the game. Now, would everybody look at it and say, well, we lost 28-24, but we took Westbrook out of the game.
Right. We didn't let their best player beat us.
You know,
it was the others.
What do you do against Indy the next time you play? Do you sit there and say, we're going to concentrate on taking Joseph Addai out of the game? Probably not, right? They probably went into the game in Indy and said, we're going to take away the downfield passing, and right. If Addai beats us, he beats us. Well, he almost beat you, but you came back late, and you won the game. That's because they're a great team.
Ken makes some other points. One of them is Madden's and Michaels are moronic. I couldn't believe they were waxing ecstatic about the Eagles' defense on that long pass to Moss simply drop. I couldn't believe they were outraged about Gaffney's TD, even though it was clearly a TD, especially Michaels. Finally, at the very end, Madden admits, oh yeah, it was a TD. And I quickly tired of Madden's repetitive generalizations about Moss getting frustrated in the Eagles' defense stopping the Pats. Speaking of Moss, I was happy to see him blocking.
It wasn't all praise all the time, so they weren't happy. Yeah,
speaking of Moss, I was happy to see him blocking so hard on a lot of the screens and short tosses to Welker, even though he wasn't getting the ball. I'm praying he'll be willing to come back to the patch for something like 3 years at $6 million a year, blah, blah, blah.
How much up front?
10 to 12 guaranteed.
Yeah, but how much is he getting in a signing bonus?
Oh, I don't know. He's just hoping he comes back.
If it's $6 million a year and it's $10 million guaranteed, that's only a $4 million signing bonus. I don't think that gets it done.
No,
do
he's going to need like $20 million guaranteed.
What do you
I don't
think,
know. I'd give him whatever he wanted.
I think I would, too.
I'd go to Moss and
I want him back.
Samuel, and I'd be paying him.
I think he's earned it.
Finally, Ken says, this game was interesting in that for one of the rare occasions, I think the opponents had a better game plan than the Pats, especially on offense.
Careful,
I don't
Ken.
Care how often we pass, but I'd like to see the quarterback under center at least 50% of the time. I think you just give the defense too much of an advantage if you have no running threat.
I agree.
But even like even
now,
if he's not under
is
center.
Is that being negative? Is that last comment that Ken made, is that negative?
No.
Okay.
No.
Tom was saying that
about
a half hour ago, and you were yelling at him.
Well, I think that even if he's not under center, if he's in shotgun, you can still have Falk back there for the draw, which they were doing against Indy. But they just weren't even doing that.
They made no attempt to run the ball at all.
It was like the Minnesota game almost, where they just said,
Spread them out.
Felger's happy.
Let's see. Henry in Norway is
actually
begging
Felger's picking
for
the Ravens.
He's begging
he's
for us to
he's
read
really
his email.
He really thinks the Ravens have a chance to win.
He said
but
he
won't
take
pick,
the 20
right,
points.
But he thinks that's possible. It's
do
a weird argument.
Things and he
first of
know,
all,
he
even thinks
think
that he turns back the defense
the
5 years.
Yeah, he doesn't know the team. He thinks the defense is the one that won the Super Bowl. And he thinks the offense does a lot more than it does. That's the
I don't
problem.
Even think there's a lot of similarities between the two. I think that the one I could come up with is I think the Ravens have some good guys in the secondary like Philadelphia does. I don't think they blitz like Philadelphia does. They definitely don't have anything offensively like Philadelphia
Nothing.
Does.
The running back is the exact opposite. I'll let him carry the ball 100 times, touch it 100 times, because I'm saying every time will be for 4 yards or less.
Yeah, here's your 80 carries and 111 yards, Mike Hart. Go ahead.
Hey,
go have
why
have
you
got
to bring it to Mike Hart?
I just first guy that popped into my head.
You'll take a shot at any Hart you can.
Let's see.
That's
what
true.
A great game. Sunday says Henry from Norway.
Oh, I like Hank.
I got to give it to the Eagles. They showed up. They played an almost perfect game. Lito Shepherd played great.
I disagree with that. You talk about the onside kick. They didn't turn that into points. They jump off sides and give the Patriots a first down.
Huge
they
play.
Made some mistakes, so they almost won not playing a perfect game.
Yeah.
I mean, the picks.
and they kept Randy Moss in check. I was wondering about Moss. How was his mood after... during and after the game.
We don't get to talk to Randy Moss every game. Homie. That's like a once-a-month thing.
If we get to the Super Bowl, I would rather face the Packers than the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys got a better chance to defeat the Patriots than the last time we faced the Cowboys. I fear them a little bit, actually. I would hate to lose to Wade Phillips and Patrick Creighton.
Well, the one thing about the Cowboys, well, those Wade Phillips doesn't coach a team. The one thing about them that I think is interesting is we were talking about their slow starts early in the year, and Jason Garrett, someone asked him a question, probably Burt Breer, about the because they don't start slow anymore. And he said that was kind of a learning thing for him as a new play caller, and he's kind of adapted to that, and he knows what's going to work more now. So I
wasn't just an aberration.
I think that's
Bill said.
I think that's interesting because they fell behind really early, 14-0, when they were having trouble in the first quarter. And I think the Cowboys can give them a game. No one's going to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I'm going to try to tell you that. But if you're going to give me 20 points in the Super Bowl with Tony Romo and the Cowboys, I'll take that every day of the week. Yeah.
The one thing that the Packers do have is a pass rush. They have
Aaron Campman.
Campman.
KGB.
KGB and another. They have three guys with more than seven sacks. Those two have 10 and 11, I think, to like pace the NFL.
Now,
so
there's the 20 points I wouldn't take.
They can get
some. They have. They, I think they have things.
But they can throw the ball. What if they just say, we're going to throw it on this secondary?
I'm a little skeptical of that, I guess. But I have been all year with Green Bay. I think defensively they could cause some problems.
You were skeptical
problems.
Of the Eagles, and look what they did. Yeah, almost did it. Almost ready.
I have no argument.
They got a cornerback,
right.
Al Harrell. I'm starting to buy into those Eagles.
I picked 49 to 9. I didn't think that Eagles game had a chance to be competitive. You're absolutely
what'd
right.
What'd you go with this week on the TV?
I would have to know more.
37-13.
I would have to know more about the Packers. I don't see them. I would have
either.
To know how they.
I just look at
what they run
paper.
Defensively. You know, are they playing 10 yards, 15 yards back? What do they do? So if they played the Packers, we'd have to do a little bit more.
They got a great safety, right? Don't they have my boy?
I think they cause a lot of problems for
Packers. He's having a great year.
How do you guys think?
I think they
would cause a lot of problems
for Favre. I think Romo can play with them now. I think Favre is too far over. I know he's having a great year.
He is.
But I think the Patriots manhandle Favre.
You know, he's on pace to better his any season he's ever had.
And you said he should have retired 2 years ago.
Yeah, everybody did.
Now I said he was great.
Oh, yeah. James from Roanoke Rapids is on the phone. James, how you doing?
Oh, how y'all doing today?
What's up, James?
Hey, James.
I thought I'd call and kind of say something. I was trying to wait to see if y'all were going to say anything about it. But see, the game last night, it was just such a quagmire and stuff. And you really can't get a good gauge from that game. But how much did any of y'all think that how much that game reminded you of the game when the snowplow game?
Well, they mentioned the snowplow game a lot because that was – that game, there was no score until there was like 4 minutes and 10 seconds left, and this game actually beat that so they mentioned the game a lot.
I didn't see the snowplow game, it's hard for me to compare.
The footing was terrible. Nobody could hardly move the ball. And then, like you said, that guy on the work release came out there and cleared the spot for John Smith to kick that field goal. The game last Sunday night, I just feel like the Patriots missed a lot of opportunities to really move the ball, and Philadelphia give them props. They had a good game plan, and everything seemed to work for them, and they had a chance. And the Patriots just pulled it out in the end. That's basically all you can say about the game.
Absolutely. All right, James. Thanks for the call, James from Roanoke Rapids,
one of our original listeners.
Yes,
Virginia. Yeah,
good caller.
Brian,
what did you think of that game last night, Fred? Did you watch any of that?
I watched the whole game.
You did?
Yep.
I fell asleep and then woke up to see the field goal.
Boring. I didn't see that. I watched
but the
good,
the best
I
part of the game was the pregame, I thought. The field and the guy trying to paint the lines on in a pouring rain, skipping puddles. And
They couldn't get the lines to stick? Is that what happened?
They were washing off.
Stick on. It was like
the sod got
it was
in
like trying
yesterday
to paint
yeah.
water.
Yeah, it's been.
Trying to paint water.
And you're upset they didn't sing the anthem.
They didn't?
They didn't?
There's reasons for that. They could have had a guy with a guitar playing it.
Jimi Hendrix could have shown up.
No, he's a friend
the
of Eric's.
Three people who didn't like it so far.
You weren't in the press box then.
Brian, I heard. What the hell is going on out there?
Who said that?
Everybody.
I think it was you.
I was going to say, that sounds like you.
Can we get... seriously, is there a reason we can't get like a hot celebrity... Do you not have a budget?
Sorry?
What's that now?
Budget? What?
Playing the role of Glenn Ordway.
Like, get
it. Turned down because we don't pay actually this week by somebody.
Who?
Middle famous. And a former American Idol contestant.
I was just going to say,
Underwood?
Was it an American Idol contestant?
The girl with big boobs?
Catherine McPhee?
Oh, bring her.
That's not the one.
Kelly Pickler?
Carrie Underwood.
About Picklin her, but there's other things I'd like.
Carrie Underwood is not middle famous.
Yeah, I know. I didn't mean to say that.
Elliot Yamin, I hated
him,
but he's got diabetes.
Apparently it was Elliot Yamin.
He's
stuck. What's that now?
Here's that Glenn thing down pretty well. You want to incorporate repeating the question into
what
those
was that?
Too.
Who?
No, just who turned us down?
Did you figure out what that country song is yet that mentions the Patriots? I want to watch the Pats. It's a big hit on Country Channel right now. I want to live life. I want to watch the Pats. They're big.
Just
they're
Google the
culture.
Google the thing.
I told him. I thought he'd know how to do it. Yeah, there's a country song right now for our listeners that don't understand what I'm talking about. That one part of the chorus, Fred, is she wants to live life or something, and one of the things she wants to do is watch the Pats.
Really?
Tom, why does he all of a sudden decipher himself, today? For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't want to be Fred. He's giving symbols off the air about Brady.
Brian in Honolulu, while watching the game, I thought the Eagles were using the Super Bowl 36 game plan that the Pats used against the Rams. That was the blueprint. What did you think about that?
Oh, I don't know about the
treating Marshall, treating Westbrook like Falk.
They weren't really banging him, were they? Because the Patriots weren't really trying to get him the ball.
Well, I thought that's what the game plan would be like, but it didn't seem like they were overly physical with him. They just tackled him when he.
I mean, they were
physical. The
they were trying to be physical with the receivers, but if the game was about,
It makes sense. I thought that's what they would try to do, but I don't necessarily think they did it the same way.
Brian also wants to hear some love for the only undefeated team in Division One.
Hawaii.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
So they'll get their chance at love. Don't worry.
Who do they have to play?
If they beat Washington this week, they'll be playing someone.
They'll
be playing someone in the neighborhood of Oklahoma or LSU.
Yeah, they're going to get a BCS bowl because they're going to be in the top 12, right?
Yeah, and they're going to beat Washington, who stinks.
Iggy is from Madrid. He says, "I'm scared.
Hola.
I'm scared after seeing Eddie Jackson at corner last Sunday against the Eagles. He looked awfully slow to me. What happened with Torrey James? Any chance of getting a better corner
about slow?
I was
going to
say,
playoffs.
Speaking of an old guy looking slow."
Torrey James.
As far as I know, he didn't hook on anyone.
No, it's another one of these
He's
guys.
He's a street free agent.
He actually would be a street free agent.
I don't fault Eddie Jackson either. I thought he was a special teamer who might help
he
out
said
in, a,
that.
In emergency situation.
Right?
I didn't know
Two
they
weeks
reached
ago,
emergency
they asked
levels
what
the other day.
Contributions he could make. I'm a special teams guy. I contribute in the kicking game. That's what
this,
he said.
This guy wants to know where Torrey James is. How about asking where Brandon Merriweather is? Wasn't he brought in to do some of those things?
I am very surprised, by the way, that he is not even getting snaps.
We should have listened to one very intelligent Fred
Smirlis. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Said he wouldn't be here by next year or something? Or
said he was lucky to make the team. The only reason
lucky to make the team.
The only reason he made the team was that he was the first round pick.
It pains me to say so, but apparently Fred Smirlis dead on.
He must know something.
I say he got lucky. He pulled a Kirsch.
Josh from Virginia. How is Andy feeling these days about the Steelers coming to Foxborough to beat
just
the
fine.
Two
just
weeks?
Fine, buddy boy.
Are you really?
That was a quagmire last night. Let's not leave anything up to that.
Let's not look at last night's
game.
That game was, I knew, I needed Ben Roethlisberger to have a huge fantasy night, and I was like an hour before they showed him warming up. He threw his first warm-up pass, and he couldn't even throw the ball. He was shaking his head like, what are we doing out here?
But he did have yards.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so.
He had one fantasy point. He had that. I know
I fell asleep then.
300 yards in your league.
I don't think.
That's true.
What did he have for stats?
Threw a terrible pick to Joey Porter earlier.
I think he had close to 200 yards.
Well,
or
that's not a lot of yards.
Well, in that mess?
I mean, 190 something yards in an NFL football.
No, but
I don't think
he played badly.
No, but I just don't
threw
think,
a bad pick early.
I don't think you were capable of putting up many points in that stuff.
I know it was a sloppy game, but Parker is turning into a bum, and with their injuries, I don't see them standing a chance. Back-to-back losses to the Jets and Dolphins would have been pretty hard to explain. On another note, this past weekend, I was able to score front row 10-yard line tickets for Monday night's game. Even though it's almost a week away, I'm already getting pretty excited to see our boys hang 50 on the Ravens.
While you're in the Baltimore area, try to find us at the ESPN Zone. We'll be broadcasting live, apparently, the Hans and Franz show.
Are you?
Apparently.
Really?
That's nice.
Saturday?
Isn't Baltimore the nice one?
I think it was the original, wasn't it?
Yeah. Monday. Before the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's if Felger gets a car.
So what about Sunday night? What are we doing? Do we have anything? Do we know where we're staying? We're not in the Inner Harbor, right?
I don't know where we are.
And we shouldn't say it.
Probably at the...
What, do you know?
No, I don't know. We had a list. I mean, we got a list earlier in the year.
Yeah, I don't know what I did with it, though.
Anyway, he wants to swing by and say hello to you bitches, douchebags.
Who's this, by the way? What's his name?
Josh. From Arlington,
because I got to remember to flip him off when I flip Paul off if the Steelers win.
Guys,
if the Steelers win, when you tell me they had no chance, I'll be flipping everybody off.
No chance.
Guys,
had nothing to do with last night, though.
Isn't the advantage of NBC doing close-ups on Brady that the other teams then have tape of him from broadcast TV to go over later?
Moving forward.
The teams can't tape him themselves, it seems wrong that NBC is making tapes for them indirectly. Well, nobody said you could never point a camera out on the field.
Plus, NBC pays a lot of money to point a camera at Tom
Brady. I think it does have a lot to do with the home crowd. I mean, you just can't
hear it. I do, too. I find it hard to believe that NBC is involved.
I need more information on this. I feel like I don't have the facts. I don't know what they're doing and what they're not doing for the other team. I mean,
well, I think they're not doing anything for the other team.
But are they showing Feely, but you can't hear it?
Right. They're saying the audio isn't perfect.
Right. I think it's just because the crowd noise.
Right. I think it's circumstantial.
But that, to me, would be circumstantial. But if they're showing Brady, and then when the Eagles have the ball, they're just, you know, the regular kind of sideline view, and they're waiting for the snap,
right,
then that would seem to be a little bit disjointed.
Plus, the other thing, the Patriots went no huddle the entire first half.
That's true.
The Eagles so huddled. So you have a long opportunity where you need to fill airtime with a camera pointed at an offense and Tom Brady because you don't know when he's snapping the ball.
Right.
So that's another reason he'd be on the
camera
a lot longer.
That's true.
I'm going with NBC and Belichick are in a war.
I like that story. I like them pissing back and forth.
That's
it'll be done, though. We're done, aren't we?
Yeah. That's why I'd like to talk to Bill to see exactly what he's
sure
looking
he'll break
into.
It down for you.
No, I'm saying.
Well, Paul, we did what we thought was in the best interest of the football team.
Don't be literal with me. I'm talking about
in a perfect
world where you could actually ask a guy a question and get an answer.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW Progress. We're off to do our TV show. We'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday.